much about.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
Check. Oh, there we go. Check, check. 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 Megan Fox, why do you have weird thumbs?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Asperger's syndrome is a mild and rare form of autism. It is typically characterized by difficulty establishing friendships and playing with peers, trouble accepting conventional social rules, and they dislike any change in setting or routine.
Dean Dexter. Dean Dexter. That's what an Asperger's all about.
All right, here we go. Check it out. All right. Good times.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
And now.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
Our feature presentation.
I must have listened to Dave's interview with Megan Fox 15 times over the weekend. I never got tired of it.
Because the greatest interview ever.
It is the best conversation between an interviewer and an interviewee in the history of broadcasting.
I know. That's why I'm going to be sad to see him go.
What?
Where's Dave going?
Oh, you didn't hear over the weekend?
No.
Yeah, 60 Minutes just hired him. Yeah, they're bringing him on. He's,
wow.
He's the Mexican Morley Safer. Bring him in for those hard-hitting interviews.
Good morning, party people. We're going to take your phone calls for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew, the Monday edition, 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number. We'll get on the air in 1 minute with your telephone calls. How was everybody's weekend? Let's start with you, Ralph Garman.
Outstanding. Really an exceptional weekend.
Except for
the whole football thing yesterday.
Well,
other than that.
I know you're feeling there, my friend.
You know, it didn't bother me as much as I thought it would. I had him, whatever team that is that I'm talking about, going 2-1 before the bye week, which is week 4. And with the second string quarterback in there, it sort of felt like a preseason game. Didn't really expect to win it, so I wasn't really too disappointed.
So you're still on track with your expectations for the
season? Yes, yeah. I'm figuring 11-5, 10-6 for that team, so we're still on track.
There was no excuse for the Seahawks to go in and lose to the 49ers.
No, there was not. The
no
Niners are looking good, though, 2-0 at this point.
I know. A surprise. But
Jets, Patriots.
Seahawks gave it away. Woo! That was the game, huh?
Jets,
how about
baby.
That?
That was, what do you mean, get Jets, baby, Psycho Mike? What are you clapping over there?
Jets fan.
What?
Since when?
Since when? You're a Cowboys fan.
Nope.
You should be weeping this morning.
You
listen,
gave up.
Let me tell you.
Last night when the Giants kicked the game-winning field goal, is that when you decided not to be a Dallas fan anymore?
About 9 months ago. When they signed the people's champ, Mr. Sanchez.
From USC.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Local boy.
And I, if there's any Chinese listeners or Korean listeners, they're the only ones who could possibly understand. There's never really been any Mexicans in the NFL, period, let alone franchise quarterbacks.
Aren't you friends with tight end Tony Gonzalez?
But he's not Mexican. He's like Puerto Rican or something. And he's like a sliver. I mean, he's like less Latino than I am.
All right.
He's not only Mexican. He's a franchise quarterback, and he's handsome, and he's talented. It's our obligation. It's our obligation, all of us in La Raza.
So the Jets,
the people's champ.
So the Jets for you now are like a Tyler Perry movie for a black
kid. Yeah, you're obligated. You're obligated.
That is weak sauce.
Listen,
come on.
Am I right? How many Mexicans are there ever going to be in the NFL from here on out?
You're right, Psycho. You're right. But what's the point of a Mexican looking past Oakland for a team, though? That's what I don't understand. It's not like you don't already have a team. It's built into your DNA if you're born in Mexico.
Yeah, you got to be true to your tribe. That's the team you take.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, part of me, it's like ingrained in my DNA. I kind of have to have some love for the Oakland team. But he's he's beautiful.
All right, easy.
Okay. All right,
he's tall and muscular.
All right, we're football here. All right, let's not go where you're going. How about you, Lise? Anything fun for your weekend?
Yeah, I saw The Informant, which I loved. I thought that was really good. Then I went to the Kirk Douglas and saw a play, and then I watched the Emmys. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, that sounds like a typical Lisa Mae weekend.
It sure does.
Kirk Douglas Theater, by the way, I can't go there anymore because it's so hard to understand them.
He doesn't really do all the shows.
Oh,
they have other people.
I'm so glad to hear you like The Informant.
It's been a while. You mean or not to be? That is the question.
Nobody wants to see
Nobody
that,
sees
right?
Kirk Douglas doing Hamlet. No.
Sure.
Okay. By the way, how is that dude still alive when you look at some of the people who are dropping dead at like 50, Billy Mays? I mean, come on.
He's unbelievable.
Isn't he 100 or close to it?
He's a tough bastard.
Yeah. This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Yes, true.
I'm so glad to hear that you liked The Informant, because it's been a while since I've seen a movie that has been so wildly split with people who think that it's a piece of trash. I read things this weekend from people who walked out of it, and then other people who talked about how it was one of the best movies they'd seen in a long time. So,
you know, that show, This American Life on NPR, they apparently did this story several years ago, and they replayed it, and so we got to listen to the real guy talking about
it. I heard
it
too this weekend.
Yeah, wasn't that fascinating? And they said they followed the story very closely in the movie.
But they made it a comedy, and for some people, I think that was pretty jarring, at least, some of the things that they did in the film that, you know, that were kind of oddball comedy, I guess.
Well, it worked for me. I thought it
was
awesome.
I'm glad to hear that. All right. Well, we'll hear all about the movies in the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up in a minute, and lots of other good stuff we'll tell you about. But first, how about your telephone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
What it do.
What it do, nephew.
Get on the air, get a prize. In fact, today we've got two prizes for you. It's a pair of tickets to the ASA Freestyle Motocross coming up on Saturday, October 3rd at the LA County Fair. Plus, we're going to give you tickets to a midnight screening of a movie called Paranormal Activity. That's at the Arclight this Thursday night. It is in theaters just in time for Halloween on October 30th. Let's start with Nathan, who sounds like he's on line 3. It sounds like he's got a late-breaking news situation for us. Hey, Nathan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yo, 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 what's up, baby boo? I'm in Glendale.
Glendale?
What it do?
What it do? No, I just got out of the gym going to work, and I pulled into my local 7-Eleven, you know, to get a pack of chew, a couple of energy drinks, and there's about 15 cops drawing, you know, drew their guns out to some piece of crap-looking truck. And right now they seem to be, you know, putting him in handcuffs and putting him in one of the squad cars right now. Yeah.
Nathan with a crime beat update.
Yes.
Does it take 15 guys to get one drunk out of a 7-Eleven?
No, I could have done it by myself. I don't know why they need 15 cops with guns.
You should go into the academy. They could use more cops like you.
No, I thought I'd go the high road and choose construction.
Good man. Now that is a career. It's not a job. It's a career.
Yes, sir. Thank
you for the call. That gets your adrenaline flowing a little bit first thing in the morning when you walk into an active crime scene, I guess. You
know, I had that 2 a.m. in Hollywood once. I came out of a 7-Eleven, and there were two cops standing behind their car door with guns drawn as I walked out, and right in front of me is a guy splayed on the sidewalk, and you're like, hello, okay.
Yeah, the adrenaline pumps more when it's you they're throwing over the hood of the car outside the 7-Eleven. I speak from experience here. It's a lot more, really wakes you up in the morning.
I forgot you've been there.
Yeah.
Ralph was busted for selling heroin to school children, if I recall.
Yeah, that's what it was. Heroin to school children.
That's what I thought. Hey, I think this is Lisa on line 2. I think she's got an update, if I remember correctly. Lisa called us last week planning a threesome trip to the Bunny Ranch.
That's
Lisa,
right.
Hi. What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Details, baby. Details.
Oh, my God. It was amazing.
You went to the Bunny Ranch, which is in what? Pahrump, Nevada? Is that where that is?
Carson City,
okay.
Which
is, if you don't know what the Bunny Ranch is, it's a legal brothel in the state of Nevada where you go in and there's like a bar lounge in the lobby, right, Lisa?
Yeah, we walked in and first of all, you have to ring a bell to even get in.
Right.
Girl opened the door and she's like, oh, hi, you must be Sunny's couple. So they already knew we were coming.
Mm-hmm. So to speak.
Go ahead.
Keep talking, Lisa.
We got to meet Dennis. I don't know if anybody's familiar with
I do know who he is from
Dennis
the TV
Hoff.
Show.
A lot of people know from the HBO show, right?
Yeah, really, really nice guy. Got his drinks at the bar. Didn't have to pay for anything. And then Sunny came out and talked to us for a little bit.
Now, Sunny's your friend that works there?
Sunny Lane. She's the porn star that we went to go see.
Okay.
She gave us a tour of the place, and then...
All right, enough with the tour! What happened in the room?
Well, I was told I really couldn't get too explicit, but...
It was you, your boyfriend, and Sunny Lane, and just
and
indulging every fantasy. Now, do you get a video or anything to take away as a parting gift?
She actually grabbed our camera and took a little bit of video. We didn't realize she was doing that until afterwards.
Oh, nice little souvenir.
Oh, okay.
We'll look for that on the internet soon. Thank you.
So, did your boyfriend have a nice time?
Oh, yeah. We both did. So we only had an hour, which was nowhere near enough time. The hour went by just so fast. Didn't get to do everything that we wanted to, and we are planning to go back.
Okay, wow. Well, there you go. Very look satisfied customer, ladies and gentlemen.
Lisa, if you don't mind me asking, what's it run, a little time with a porn star at the Bunny Ranch?
We don't know because one of our groomsmen paid for it. It was a wedding present.
Ah.
That's a wedding gift.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, it does.
But a little penicillin to clear that right up.
Outstanding. Thank you very much for the call. Let's do one more. We've got, let's try Jeff. He's on line five this morning, and then we'll tell you all about today's Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jeff, what'd it do?
What up, knuckle butts?
What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do?
I don't think I could top the Bunny Ranch, but I saw Social D out in Palm Desert over the weekend.
Did you have a threesome with them?
No.
Then you can't top it.
No. That's
how was that?
They kicked ass.
Great.
They had a couple new songs they played.
You're bringing it to life, man. I feel like I was there.
It's like Mike Ness is standing next to me.
anything interesting happen or worth commenting on, or just they were good?
Well, I don't think all the old people at the casino have ever seen so many tattoos and fake boobs in their life.
Right.
Everybody just took over the casino as soon as the concert let out and before they got in.
Okay. Oh. Hey, listen, we're going to put you on hold and give you your prize. How about that? How's that sound? I think that's a win-win for all of us.
Wow. You are a madman. You must have shocked those old people at that casino with that energy level.
I blame myself for taking that call. All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. I'm very excited that the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices is back in the schedule.
Yes.
No, it's really,
didn't you hear the wheel broke?
It's going to happen. Who knows where it'll land, but there are so many great animal stories going on in the news these days, and we insist on calling. Also, we'll check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Something about David Hasselhoff and an ambulance last night, Ralph. You hear anything about that?
Yes. David apparently has a new job as a paramedic. He was driving an ambulance last night.
It's funny. In my mind, I pictured him being on the other end of the ambulance.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's
I guess we'll find out. We'll check in with Harvey Levin. The TMZ reporters have been all over that.
He sure is.
Also, highlights of last night's 61st Annual Emmy Awards. How about Neil Patrick Harris, by the way? Is he the man or what?
He really made that show very entertaining.
He did. Super talented dude. So anyway, we got a lot of highlights and conversation, and Ralph will update some winners for you coming up here in the Showbiz Beat in a minute. We also have Vitaly Klitschko in the studio today. If I'm not mistaken, he is the current WBC heavyweight champion of the world.
He is.
So, Mike, watch your mouth when he's in here today.
All right.
Any trouble there. And a whole bunch more that cannot be described here, but I promise you will be very entertaining.
Wow, it's that dirty, huh?
which, by the way, is what people say when they got nothing. But all of that is straight ahead, including our first look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, and you're on 106.7 FM. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:51. Ralph Garman joins us every day at this time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
And every Monday at this time, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. It's funny, when I was talking about the movies during the movie beat on Friday, I mentioned that Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was a wildly popular children's book that didn't get a lot of attention from adults. But apparently kids dragged their parents to go see it this weekend, number one at the box office by $20 million over number two.
Wow.
Wow.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs made $30.1 million in its debut weekend, making it the monster hit of the weekend by far. The Informant, the new Matt Damon film, directed by Steven Soderbergh, came in at number two with just $10.5 million in box office receipts. Then Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself. Love Happens, in its debut, made $8.5 million, good enough to be number four. Jennifer's Body, the new Megan Fox movie, in its debut, made $6.8 million, making it number five. Then the bottom five of the top nine were nine at number six. Inglourious Basterds, All About Steve, Sorority Row, and Whiteout at number 10, according to Daily Variety.
Does this mean that our Megan Fox is sad today?
It could mean that.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. I got...
what?
I will be interested to watch the trajectory of Miss Megan Fox. Because here's a woman who's really starred in two major blockbuster films that really were about the films more than they were her.
Yes.
Right.
And this weekend, it looks like people aren't rushing to go see a movie just because Megan Fox is in it. So does the hype overplay people's actual interest in seeing her perform on screen?
There are a lot of huge, quote-unquote, movie stars who have problems opening movies. You know, they get paid the big bucks and people don't automatically go see them. But I'm very surprised to see how poorly this film did.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll be a word-of-mouth thing. Maybe people will start to go as they talk about it. We'll have to wait and see. Of course, if you are a TV fan, last night was Christmas for you. You get to see all the TV stars at the big Emmy Awards. We'll be talking about them more in the next hour, but just a recap in case you missed it last night of some of the big winners last night's show. Inexplicably, some people won awards that I was screaming at my television about, like Toni Collette as Best Actress in a Comedy for United States of Tara.
Ralph, I thought that show was panned universally.
It's horrible. I know
that
much.
It's a terrible show. It's a terrible show, but she plays five roles or something, and I guess that catches the attention if you're looking for people who can act.
But at least she plays them way over the top and completely unbelievably, so she's got that going for her. But she aced out people like Tina Fey. I mean, it was just a kick right in the nads.
Yeah.
As well as the supporting actor in a comedy category, where John Cryer for 2 and a Half Men won the award. And look, John Cryer is a perfectly nice dude, and he does a fine job on 2 and a Half Men.
Mm-hmm.
But over, like, Rainn Wilson?
I know. I agree.
I was screaming at my television set.
Yeah, I was happy for him personally because I like him so much.
Yeah,
but I get what you're saying.
Come on.
Kristen
Chenoweth was Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy for
Didn't
Pushing
she
Daisies.
She looked great.
She looked great. She was adorable on stage, and her show is canceled.
Yeah.
So, hope you enjoyed her work on Pushing Daisies. Alec Baldwin, finally, a category I could get behind. He won for Best Actor in a Comedy on 30 Rock. He's so terrific on that show. And 30 Rock, Best Comedy Series. I have no problem with that whatsoever. On the drama side, Mad Men won for Best Drama Series. By the way, did you see Mad Men last night? Maybe the greatest Mad Men episode ever.
I haven't seen it yet.
Maybe ever the best ever of all the Mad Men. This was the maddest and manniest.
That's so good to hear, because I thought that last week's was one of the best Mad Men episodes ever. So
Pshaw.
They're on a roll right now.
Pshaw,
really.
I say to you. I respond with...
It was killing me last night, Ralph, because I was covering the Emmys for the show, to not be able to watch Mad Men, to not be able to watch The Return of Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
To not be able to watch the Cowboys lose. I mean, all the things I love were happening at the same time on television. I only had time for one.
Don't you have a bank of televisions, like a Bond villain in a hideout, Bean? I just assumed you would be in like an egg-shaped chair petting a cat, just looking at a wide screen just filled with television activities going on at the same time.
I always thought it was like the end of Scarface without the cocaine, just sitting by a table with just monitors.
Racks of monitors.
If I learned anything from last night in my frustration, I do need to get that going, that's for sure.
Actor in a drama, Bryan Cranston won for his brilliant work over there on Breaking Bad. Glenn Close won again for her work on Damages for Best Actress in a Drama. Best Supporting Actor in a Drama, Michael Emerson from Lost, proved once again via his acceptance speech he is the creepiest dude on television.
He sure is. I've got that tape to play later. Yeah. I couldn't tell whether he was in character or not last night.
Speaking of Bond villains, I thought people's lives were in danger when he got up on stage. And Best Supporting Actress in a Drama, Cherry Jones, who plays the president on 24, won for Best Supporting Actress. And I was thinking as she accepted her award that if her parents knew she was going to be winning an award for Best Actress in a Drama at some point in life, they wouldn't have named her Cherry.
Wow.
She just sounds like a stripper got up there.
It sure does.
Here's Cherry Jones. Get your singles out, fellas. She doesn't work for free. Cherry hitting the stage now. Cherry, stage one, please. Best reality show was Amazing Race. Natch,
again.
Every year. Jeff Probst won for Best Reality Host, and Daily Show with Jon Stewart
won again
for Best Variety Music or Comedy Series. So, well done, everyone who won big awards. Zooey Deschanel, one of our favorite actresses around here. She got married over the weekend with. Wow, it's a lot of prepositions in that sentence. Death Cab for Cutie lead singer Ben Gibbard. Two of them make a lovely couple. They got married up in your neck of the woods, Bean, on Saturday night. They got married in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, I can't hate on Ben. He's not like some douchey rock star who only got a chick because, you know, he's in a band. I mean, he really does seem like a good dude with a good personality, so I'm happy for him.
I agree. And Burt Reynolds, as we mentioned at the end of last week's show, the legendary movie actor, entered rehab last week and then promptly turned around and walked out again. That is good treatment, by the way. If they can fix you up, wait a minute, he quit.
Maybe he needed a drink.
Yeah, he needed a pill. He was going in for addiction to pain pills, and no word yet on why he walked out of the rehab, but apparently they weren't treating him to his liking.
Hmm.
I bet it has a lot to do with not being able to eat pills.
I heard that they confiscated his toupee, and he wouldn't have it. He wouldn't have none of it. You know, Your scalp gets cold in those rehabs. Bean, what do you go? Who are you typing into? Who are you writing to?
I can Psycho hear Mike is giving a note to the affiliates that I need to pass on.
Oh, okay. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
Okay.
Producer Jerry Bruckheimer. He's a success.
Yes.
He's got all those CSIs on television, all those big motion pictures. He also does The Amazing Race, which won an Emmy last night. Good for him. 64 years old today. Author Stephen King turned 62 years old today. And he just wrote a book while I was wishing him a happy birthday. Wrote an entire book in that span. One of my favorite comic actors of all time, Bill Murray, celebrates his 59th birthday today. And also in that category of genius comic actors, Dave Coulier from Full House also celebrates a birthday today. He is 50. Cheryl Hines, speaking of the return of Curb Your Enthusiasm, she's 44 years old today. That's a good-looking 44 right there. Mm. I'm a little bell for Cheryl Hines, Bean. Huh? Think? There we go. Luke Wilson? He is 38 years old today. Oasis singer Liam Gallagher celebrates his 37th birthday. Nicole Richie. She gets a little richier every time I mention her.
I knew you were going to say that. That will never, ever die.
Maybe we'll have to get that for the next hour.
I don't think we have that kind of bad boy.
Nicole's very busy. Dad, Lionel Richie, back in his flamethrowing days.
Who would have ever thought Nicole Richie would turn it around and grow up and be an actual regular person and a responsible mother, by the way? How crazy was that turnaround?
Not me.
Look at where she and Paris Hilton started out together, and look where their divergent paths have gone.
She seems like Secretary of State compared to Paris Hilton. Ridiculous. Maggie Grace from Lost.
Oh!
And what was that movie she did with Liam Neeson? Taken. Oh,
she was great.
She was so 14 in that movie somehow. She went back in time.
Is that appropriate?
Yeah, it was creepy how much I dug her in that, even though she's of age. So that's right. She's 26 years old.
Oh, all right.
And she really was playing like a 17-year-old girl in that movie.
I just saw that this weekend. She was playing a 17-year-old who was sold into sex slavery.
I know.
And you
she's 26.
You hated yourself for not being upset about the fact that she was sold into sex slavery.
And I was like, can I put a bid in at that auction? And you're watching, you're like, God, that looks like a young Maggie Grace. I wonder who that actress is. And I'm watching the credits, it says Maggie Grace. Like, what? I said, what? I went, what? That's what I did.
Did you?
And then people say, shh, I was in the theater. I was screaming, what?
She's terrific.
I didn't care for that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Mike, you saw those Killers the other night. How were they?
I sure did. The metalhead in me wanted to hate them, but they are so, so, so good live. I mean, you can't believe how good they are at being a rock and roll band.
Would you like them better if they had a Mexican lead singer?
I sure would.
Read My Mind by the Killers. It's the world famous K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6:11. Ralph is in here to try to stop a train that is coming at you at 150 miles an hour and can't be stopped. And that's the, ladies and gentlemen, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
It's time for the
Yeah, I'm sorry. Now we're out of time.
Scroll nut zippers are still working.
Does Omar have some vacation time coming up, hopefully, because the boy needs a rest.
It's too late. That intro alone should teach you not to do this bit anymore, let alone my insistence.
You may be right about that, by the way. I may be coming over to your side. All right, what's on the wheel right now? This course, all the stories are actual real news stories. We read about the animals and we go, man, there have to be some follow-up questions asked. We're the guys to answer them. And
Are we?
You can't even say we're the guys that ask,
let alone do it.
What's on the wheel this time?
Well, we got the renegade kangaroo.
Uh-huh.
Pimpin'. Oh, that was an awesome story in Australia this weekend. Yeah.
The pimpin' chimps.
Pimpin' chimps, oh, yeah. Sure.
Japanese attack bear.
Right.
Russian dog girl.
You know what? We got to take the animals off the wheel that do what they're supposed to do in nature. Attacking bear, by the way, that's what bears do. They attack if you get too close to them.
But at a bus stop in Tokyo, come on.
Well, oh, my God.
He didn't have the right change, and he was pissed.
Suicidal New York City turtles, the rock-throwing elephant. The Russian dog girl again, attacking.
How many times did she?
The Russian dog girl on there twice.
The attacking Komodo dragon, another one of those.
Another one thing. They attack. That's what Komodo dragons do.
The gay German penguins, Argentinian mega colony ants, rats of unusual size.
I think we talked to them already.
That looks like that's all we have.
Maybe that should come off the wheel since we did that one already.
Give this a spin.
Oh, good.
All right, here we go.
Here's the thing. You're going to spin it, and then a funny animal will land on there, and then we'll have a bad voice.
We have the suicidal New York City turtle.
Oh my goodness.
I gotta
leave. I'll see you later.
No, don't leave. We're gonna
call him right now, Ralph.
Turtles now.
You don't want to miss this.
Oh, man.
All right. These are real stories ripped from the news. This happened recently at, New York City's Kennedy Airport. They had to shut down a runway there after 78 turtles emerged from the bay and crawled onto the tarmac. How about that? They had to send out police and grounds crew to round up the wayward reptiles. It took about 35 minutes. They deposited them back into the water. They had to shut down the entire runway because there were turtles on it. Pilots started seeing them from the air at like 8:30. Like, what the hell is that? So we asked producer Alex to line up somebody from Kennedy Airport to talk to us, and I believe we have that person on the phone right now. Hi, Kevin Amin here. Who's this?
Hello.
Yes, we're calling from the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about the turtles on the runway.
Yeah.
Who's this?
I'm one of the turtles.
Oh, no. You're one of the turtles.
Yeah.
Who could have seen this coming?
Shock.
Is there any...
Yes. Surprise.
Right. Shock and surprise. That's what turtles are known for.
Yeah.
Is there any way you could speed it up a little bit? Because we have a vast radio audience hanging on every word.
Sure.
So
turtles are known for speeding up when they are asked.
I like turtles.
Go.
Okay.
Faster.
All right. Forget all that. What happened the other day when you and your friends crawled onto the runway out of the water? What were you trying to do?
We were sad.
You're sad.
And decided
come on.
To commit
suicide.
Suicide.
Okay, all right. What does a turtle have to be sad about?
Well, first of all, we're slow.
Yes, you're definitely, I've noticed that, yes.
I'm talking to you on a shell phone.
Was that, oh my God.
I like turtles.
Was that turtle comedy?
Owl phone.
Now you know why we're so suicidal.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. After all, this bit wasn't my idea.
Well, I guess you're right about that. But we're happy to hear from you. We're glad you didn't commit suicide and you're feeling better.
Well, I'm on the runway.
You're on the runway right now?
Right.
No. You need to crawl back into the water.
Now.
Okay, but you need to turn around and get back into the water. It's not safe for you on the runway.
And I think that I may out.
Turtle?
Who's that?
I didn't see our friend Harvey Levin or TMZ even mentioned on the Emmys last night, which makes it a pretty bogus show if you want my opinion. Good morning, Harvey. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you? Hey, I have
Hi,
to
Harvey.
Ask you, you're having Vitaly Klitschko on?
We are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was at dinner last night, and he and his brother were at the restaurant. They are tall dudes.
Yeah, his brother Vladimir, also an excellent heavyweight boxer.
Yeah.
We will mention that you had dinner with them. Did you get to talk to them?
they couldn't see me from that high.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Hey, Harvey, I mentioned the Emmys. Is a show like yours eligible for the Emmys, or is that a daytime Emmy category, or where do you guys fall in the TV landscape?
Okay, A, we do not qualify for these Emmys. B, we probably would qualify for the daytime Emmys, but we will never win an Emmy. I can guarantee.
No.
Yeah. We will never win an Emmy.
I get the sense the Hollywood community doesn't exactly embrace your show.
No, you know, the funny thing is they like being on the show. There's no way, unless prisoners get to vote.
Speaking of prisoners, Harvey, what's going on with the dude who was ripping off Adrina Patridge and Lindsay Lohan's house?
You know, it is... Oh, you mean the burglary.
The burglary, yeah.
Well, you know, they think this is a ring, and the person who was arrested, the guy that was arrested for burglarizing Lindsay's, also a suspect in Audrina's. There's a woman. Stupidly, this guy put her picture on his MySpace page, and she also matches up with the surveillance video. So now she's a suspect, and they want to talk to her. But it looks like they hit two of them together, and the issue is why and did they know either of them? And it's, you know, but based on what we're finding, it's a pretty interesting case.
This guy's got a drug history, too, right? He was busted for coke?
Yeah, he was arrested for cocaine and pled guilty not too long ago. He had a DUI in Beverly Hills. The kid's only 18 years old.
So so we think that – are we just guessing? But we think that he broke into their house knowing it was the celebrities that lived there. These weren't random burglaries, right?
Well, I mean, we don't know, but it is kind of odd, isn't it, that he hit Audrina and Lindsay?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just two celebrities, but two celebrities kind of cut from the same cloth.
By the way, you probably got a full-time guy at TMZ who just follows celebrity Twitters, but Lindsay Lohan has a meltdown about once a week. Did you see her this morning talking about how it's nice to see Samantha Ronson has found a party rather than being honest?
God, I mean, there are times, and especially it's ironic in my job, that you just want her to be quiet. And it's like for somebody like me to say that.
Yeah.
Right, because she is great for your site whenever she does something crazy. But I know she's exhausting to follow.
She is exhausting. I mean, look, Samantha should run.
Let's talk about an ambulance showing up at the Hasselhoff residence last night. That sounds like potentially bad news.
I mean, I just think this is really sad. It's just really sad. The kid, Haley, called her mom and said that David, this is what she said now, that David had been drinking excessively, was drunk, and then one of Pamela's friends was with Pamela. They called 911. The ambulance came, took him to the hospital. I'm told he was released last night. I'm not positive of that, but I'm told he was. But, you know, if this is so, it's just, you know, this just shows how gripping this whole thing is, and it's very, very sad.
He's done stints in rehab before, right, Harvey?
He's done rehab. I mean, he's, you know, vowed to be clean, and it's just a really powerful, powerful thing that's really just hard to escape. And, you know, it's because he really is such a good guy. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really sad thing.
It's no fun for the kid that has to make that call to the 911. That's for
no,
sure.
No, I'm told this is just really tough for the whole family, including Pamela. Including Pamela.
Yeah, his she ex-wife. Can't really extricate herself from that marriage as long as she's still sort of tied to his caretaking, right?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I'm sure that you know there was a lot of craziness on both sides in that case, but it's still, you know, it affects everybody, and it's just a really sad situation.
All right, one more thing I have to mention. I couldn't believe the story that you put on TMZ.com over the weekend. We have Harvey Levin on the phone right now. And I guess the original source is New York Times obtained this this proposal for a book about John Edwards. This is one of the creepiest. I mean, this is a guy, John Edwards, who, of course, was a senator, who was at one time the vice presidential nominee and at another time running for president.
Could have been
president. President, right. If folks didn't hear, Harvey, what was revealed?
You know, I've got to pull the side up, but I mean, this one I can remember pretty clearly, that this woman is saying basically that John Edwards had said to her, look, I will marry you as soon as my wife dies. Ugh. We'll have this great wedding. Dave Matthews Band will play. I mean, if you believe her, I know, if you believe her, I mean, this whole wedding was planned out around his wife's death. You know, what can you say?
It's unbelievable. I mean, this is a guy, you know, I mean, he's a politician, and he, you know, like so many do, was the family values candidate and taught, you know, and was apparently the good guy for standing by his wife and helping her through all the cancer treatment, everything like that. But behind her back, he's telling his girlfriend, yeah, as soon as this broad kicks it, man, you and I are going to have a kick-ass wedding, and Dave Matthews is going to play.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, the affair, well, you know, we've seen that a million times, but it's the when my wife dies part that is unbelievable.
look, I want a president who can multitask. If you can plan a funeral and a wedding at the same time, I think that's impressive. I would vote for that.
And I guess
I love you. Was that you, Ralph?
Yes, yeah. It was, Harvey.
I love you can find the bright side of it.
You got to look for the upside.
You know.
Yeah. And I guess this is the week it looks like he's going to come out and finally admit that this kid that the mistress had is in fact his. But man, we really dodged a bullet by not electing that dude. That's for
it's
sure.
We're about to put a picture up of the mother and the kid. And the kid, boy, does this kid look like him.
Well, he'll have good hair then, at least. All right.
good,
Harvey Levitt.
And good taste in music.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Dave Matthews Band, sure.
Right. TMZ.com. Check your local listings for the TMZ television show near you.
Guys,
Harvey, yes.
Can I just do one quick thing?
Sure.
Of course.
We are now on at 6 o'clock on Channel 11. Not 6:30, 6 o'clock.
Six o'clock. Here in Los Angeles.
If you're listening in Los Angeles, 6 o'clock, Channel 11 for TMZ TV, and check your local listings elsewhere. Harvey, always great to catch up with you, man. Have a terrific week.
You too, guys.
Bye.
That wasn't the double hand clap of death, was it?
It sure was.
No, that was a triple hand clap of rock.
That's right.
There's a difference.
Right. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ 637. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got some audio highlights of last night's 61st Annual Emmy Awards coming up in less than a half an hour from right now. Plus, we'll include your phone calls on the ceremony coming up just after the top of the hour. Right now, though, Kevin and Bean Afroline is on the air, 323-520-AFRO. It's our answer machine that is humming here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You leave us comments, we play them back. We were talking last week about people who answer the phone during sex. Remember, Billy Bush from Access Hollywood has a radio show, and he called Diddy at home, and for some reason, Diddy decided to answer the phone.
Hello?
Hey, Puff.
Who is?
Yo, buddy, it's Billy Bush. Hey, man, listen, you got about a few minutes just to chat about the awards last night?
No, I'm having sex right now.
Okay, so that happened,
yeah.
And then the callers very much enjoyed that story.
Mom, I gotta call you back. I'm having sex, Mom. I haven't had sex for a month. A month!
See? It's like lightning.
And not only answering the phone during sex, but the love for DJ Omar Khan's college project of the Cucamonga Heat movie continues as well.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. Yeah, I was having sex with my girlfriend, all right? And then, like, her mom called, all right? And then I picked up the phone, all right? And then I was, like, talking to her, all right? And then, like, I hung up, all right?
Yeah,
and she was like, do we have any time? And I was like, yeah, we got time. We got plenty. All right, man. Tell that family I said hi. All right. Later, dude. Double cross.
Double cross, indeed.
It's funny how few people have seen the original Cucamonga Heat, but its influence is all over show business. You can't get away from it. It's so big.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we talk about Lady Gaga, you hear that sound for obvious reason, but that's not going to stop this listener.
Hey, you guys can play Chewbacca's growl all you want when talking about Lady Gaga. But after seeing her body on the VMAs, I do that Wookiee. Yeah. Hard and sloppy.
Yeah.
The Johnny Gunn way.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Look, I hear him. I give her a ride on my disco stick.
Yeah.
Wasn't all the blood all over her face a little off-putting, though?
I mean, hot. That, kinda... hot?
That was hot.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Last week on the red carpet, our own King of Mexico was out there doing interviews about Jennifer's body, and he got a chance to talk to Megan Fox. Now, here's a little bit of how – this shows you just a little bit of Dave's technique.
Now, are you a baseball fan at all?
No, I'm not.
All right, so how do you think the Dodgers are going to do in the World Series?
Okay, that's the kind yeah. of interview technique you get from Dave, and apparently the listeners love it.
King of Mexico is my new idol. That was the best Megan Fox interview ever, anyways.
It might be the best Megan Fox interview ever, by the way. It's certainly the most entertaining. I think this caller is mocking the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, I was just listening to your podcast from Friday, and man, that Bean getting his haircut video is just hilarious on the radio in my car.
Yeah, may not translate.
One of the new movies out this week, it just got savaged by the critics. It's called Love Happens, and it looks like it's a Jennifer Aniston, Aaron Eckhart, crappy romantic comedy. But I think we have a caller here who's able to find the bright side.
Yeah, I'm just trying to prove you guys wrong to tell you all the good things about that movie, Love Happens. Okay, bye.
Yeah. All she wrote.
Ralph, you could always count on a lot of support from fellow Eagles fans out there in the audience.
Fly!
fly, eagles fly, on the road to, wait a minute, never mind.
Oh, come on. I can't talk about it. It's hard.
I bet it is. When's that bet up? End of the year? Yeah. Not till January?
January, I'm
when the Eagles are already out of contention, I guess.
How dare you, sir?
There's a five-month-long feature going on Extra Television that just started last week, and it's host Mario Lopez looking for a dog.
Mario's Great Puppy Hunt.
And we got a couple of Afro calls about that.
Mario Lopez is a tool.
New theme. It's good. I like it.
How about this one?
Mario's a freaking retard.
That could work, too. I like those jingles.
Mario's Great Puppy Hunt.
I think we are looking for your jingles. If you've got it, feel free to call the Afro line or email them to us or whatever. We definitely want to hear your take on the Mario Great Puppy Hunt. And take your time, because there's months ahead for you to get it in. And finally, this is it really warms my heart because, you know, you're in a little room and you're doing a radio show and you don't really know how it's being received on the other end. You hope that people are enjoying the program. And that's why this call really gave me joy to hear an actual Kevin and Bean fan listening to the program and loving it.
Oh, sorry, I was just listening to Big Boy.
Oh,
that's not nice. Our show.
No.
Come on.
In the hood.
Wait for it. Wait for every last drop. Don't want to cheat the puddle of mud. Hold on, not over yet.
That's some muddy goodness right there.
Mario's Great Puppy Hunt.
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ 653. Highlights from last night's Emmys, including some of the very funny opening song that Neil Patrick Harris did to start the show, coming up in just a few minutes, and your phone calls, too. And with that and all the other showbiz beat news, here's Ralph Garman.
As we do every Monday morning, we're going to start off by taking a look at the weekend's hot movies. According to the Daily Variety newspaper, here's what made money over the weekend. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Boy, do people love food falling from the sky. That's what I learned this weekend.
Sounds pretty funny.
$30.1 million.
Balls.
Made the animated kids movie number one at the box office. A lot Balls. Of people taking their kids to the movies this weekend.
That was a shock, right? No one was expecting that.
Well, I didn't want to say it out loud because I didn't want to sound like a dork. But Friday when I was talking about during the movie beat, I knew through friends of mine who have kids who read the book what a phenomenon it was in book form for these kids, how much they loved it. So I thought it had the potential to be a hit, but I didn't dare say it would be number one, although looking at the competition, I guess it was a pretty safe bet because The Informant, which was number two, is sort of like a niche movie for sort of a select audience, the people who like the Coen Brothers type dry comedies. It only made $10.5 million. It was number two at the box office. Then Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself. You sure can, Tyler Perry. It was third at the box office. Love Happens and Jennifer's Body rounding out the top five. Nine was six. 69.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds was seven. All About Steve, Sorority Row, and Whiteout rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Are you excited for the two-hour season premiere of Dancing with the Stars tonight?
I don't want to go into your man cave.
Come on, Dancing with the Stars!
That's back
Lisa?
Already.
Lisa, you going to dance with the stars this year?
I'm going to watch it until I get paid not to.
Are you going to talk about it?
Absolutely. It's the only way I get paid.
No! No! No!
The odds for who's going to win Dancing with the Stars 9 have been posted, thanks to Bodog.com, the gambling website.
All right.
The favorite is Aaron Carter. He's going off at 3-1.
The boy band guys do well.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They do well. By the way, there's more competitors this year than ever before. There's 20.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Different competitors. Maya is the next safest bet if you're laying money on Dancing with the Stars. If you're laying money, by the way, on Dancing with the Stars, get yourself into a clinic. Get some help if you're gambling on Dancing with
suicide.
The Stars.
Or suicide.
Yeah, all right. There's that, too. Donny Osmond's third, then Macy Gray. Everyone else is sort of in the middle of the pack. Here's the bottom, the long shots. Melissa Joan Hart is going off at 12-1. Doesn't look good. Chuck Liddell is a 15-1 shot. He does not strike me as a guy who would be a good dancer.
No.
Although he's a man of power.
And
can move pretty well in the ring. Yeah, he's got good footwork. Kelly Osbourne was 20-1. Well, yeah, she's just wrong on every level. And Tom DeLay is the longest
I'm
shot.
I'm going to
no,
do
that's Tom
really
DeLong.
Good.
Tom DeLong. Tom DeLay is a former, of course, congressman.
Okay.
He is 25-1 long shots.
And he's already been hurt pretty badly,
yes.
I think.
He's got a stress fracture already in his foot from dancing.
The only thing I'll say about Mr. Liddell is athletes have done surprisingly well on this show because they are used to competition. They're used to practice. Yeah. They're used to learning a playbook, for instance. Yeah. So I mean, it's been shocking to me how well a lot of those guys have done.
But there's a particular type of mobility that's involved in dancing, and MMA fighters in particular are always hurt. And he's probably got a just head-to-toe scar tissue, and it might be tough for him to really engage in some of these spins and moves and jumps and stuff.
I think the athlete you're referring to, Bean, who falls into that category, would be Michael Irvin, former wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. He is going off at 7-1 in the group, and I think he is along the lines of what you described.
Right.
And
I was thinking of Jerry Rice and some of the others who have played.
Well, the reason they do so well, too, is because they have huge fan bases who get out and vote for them.
Well, that's a good point also.
So it's a lot of it's who people call in for. Can't believe we just did that much time in Dancing with the Stars. It's a first.
Let's not mention it again until it's over.
I like it.
Oh, I don't think so.
How dare you, woman. Katy Perry. She is single once again.
Yes.
Star Magazine reports that she and boyfriend Travis McCoy have split. So apparently, she's available.
She's awesome, by the way.
Get to work, team.
Boobs.
Yeah, she's pretty spectacular. And speaking of sex.
Yeah.
Here's a woman who is putting out a book. Maybe we should talk to her. I know this is sort of classic rock based, but I think it's a pretty fascinating story. Her name is Chris O'Dell. And she is known pretty much as the super groupie. Her book called Miss O'Dell will be out in October, and she claims to have had sex with all of the Beatles and all of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah!
Really?
And Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Dude.
She really worked the 60s hard.
No kidding.
Apparently, she had sex with all the Beatles, including George Harrison, while he was married. She said she used to go and snort coke with George and his wife, Patty. And then... bang George.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
All right, wow. George.
If I'm in a band, I don't want to go after all the guys in my band have gone. I mean, I don't know where George was in the rotation there. But
he was third.
Just...
Ringo was next. Ringo had to bat clean up.
Right. That's, wow. Okay.
But I think that was a different era. I mean, that was,
yeah, was
free disease and...
And free love, and no one really got jealous, and there weren't any issues. Plus, she was just one of many. They could probably hardly keep track of who was banging who.
Considering the era that she was really, really working, she's had sex with Rodney, right? Like, for sure.
Oh, I don't know about that. Rodney Bingenheimer, our very own DJ?
Yeah.
He was more a 70s, sort of 80s dude.
Maybe you're right.
I don't think he really in the 60s he was active. But apparently...
I would talk to her, yeah.
She did the Beatles. Here's the thing. She was... acting as Eric Clapton's beard when Clapton was banging George Harrison's wife, Patty, behind George Harrison's back.
Right.
And then she would bang George. Although George didn't know Eric Clapton was banging his wife. And she was acting as Clapton's beard girlfriend.
Wow.
So that's
Eric.
Creepy. Then Ringo. Then she moved on to Mick Jagger, who was also married at the time. The rest of the Stones. And then she ended up working for and banging Bob Dylan. So it's good times. Good times. In the 60s. Mm-hmm. I may have missed my era. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Maggie Grace from Lost is 26 years old. Nicole Richie of The Simple Life is 28. Do we have that tape?
I do not. Bean, do you have it?
No.
Bean, you must have the tape of you talking about Lionel Richie.
I actually don't. That's something that Kevin always plays.
Back in your old school radio days.
I do not have it. I'm telling
you.
I look for it.
About Lionel
I look
getting
for
a little
it.
Richier.
I don't have it.
He gets a little richier every time we play that song, was the quote, I think.
Mike, look under Flash Phillips or look under Bean Aircheck.
Yeah, we don't
it's
got to
be,
kind of
it's gotta be down there
I'm
somewhere.
Looking under a lot of stuff.
Maybe next hour.
Mike is not the guy you want to task with doing searches for anything. He is pitiful.
There's only one thing he does fast, and this isn't it.
That's right. Liam Gallagher from Oasis is 37. Luke Wilson's 38. Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah! Woo!
From the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is 38.
And Silver Spoons.
And Silver Spoons, let's not forget. Faith Hill. I'm not a big country fan, but Faith Hill.
She's a good deal. Yeah.
42. Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm is 44. Dave Coulier from Full House is 50. Bill Murray turns 59. Stephen King, legendary horror author, is 62. And Jerry Bruckheimer, very successful producer, turns 64. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Because my dreams are bursting at the seams.
When Vitaly Klitschko gets here next hour, I'm going to have him find Al City and beat him to death. That's what I'm going to do. That's going to be the mission I'm going to give.
That's the music that Vitaly enters the ring to, which I think is strange when he comes out of the locker room. It's very odd.
He will be here in 1 hour. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:10. So last night was the 61st Annual Emmy Awards. Wow, I was so surprised they didn't bring back the format last year where they had the five reality TV show hosts hosting the program.
Boy, did that blow.
Yeah, that was horrible.
We barely have forgotten that one, and it was Emmy time again. Let's play some highlights and talk to Elizabeth real quick. She is on line two calling the Kevin and Bean Show. She watched the show last night. Hey, Elizabeth, welcome. What's up?
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. What'd you think of last night's show?
Well, Neil Patrick Harris is a god.
He really is good.
I love him to death. He is fantastic. I thought the speeches were pretty damn good in the sense they were very meaningful. Like, you could tell everyone really appreciated getting the award and whatnot. The big thing for me, and I don't know if you guys remember, I called for the Oscars too. My biggest beef was the memorial tribute during the Oscars was just atrocious, and they did it really nice and classy last night, and I was so...
Although, I will tell you, and I've heard this complaint from others before, and I don't know why they don't address this on the telecast, but during the In Memoriam segment, which, by the way, you really realized how many celebrities have died since last year's Emmys when you watched that piece last night. They should turn the microphones off in the house because it turns into a popularity contest of people applauding for the people that they like or know, and then other people who died get nothing. And there shouldn't be that sort of incongruity during the In Memoriam segment, I don't think.
There should. No one gives a rat's ass about Pierre Cossette. And when Paul Newman comes on the screen, you want to hear people cheering and applauding.
I don't think so.
When
everybody's dead, let them just have their moment on the screen without a popularity poll going on in the audience.
No, you want to hear the people that you feel the same way that they do. When you see those faces on the screens and those names, you're like, oh, my God, I loved that person so much.
You want to have everyone else join in with you.
I think it's tacky.
You're all about tact. You're all about people's feelings, Bean.
And by the way, if you're like Patrick Swayze and had the good sense to die last week, you get a much huger round of applause than had you somebody equally popular who may have died 3 months ago or 9 months ago.
No, because Paul Newman died a year ago, and people went crazy for him, too. It's nice that people acknowledge it's their final curtain call, and they should get the applause.
I hope that on next year's Emmys, your name is called and nobody applauds. That's what I hope.
No one would remember me, and I would not make the Emmy run.
The Summer of Death!
You know what? Elizabeth is so right about Neil Patrick Harris. And let me tell you about this dude. First of all, he's a rarity in Hollywood that he managed to navigate being a teen star into being a meaningful working actor as an adult star. And he's terrific on his show. But he has such presence and such confidence out there on the stage. And you don't see that with all hosts. I mean, he really looked like he was in his element and was enjoying himself last night, which I thought was a nice touch, too.
It's because he's a Broadway baby, because he did so much live theater after Doogie that you learn how to work an audience. You work how to present yourself in front of a live audience, like Hugh Jackman did with the Oscars as well. Those guys who perform in theater have a sense of how to perform on a stage.
That's a great point. Elizabeth, thank you for the call. Here's a couple of clips of host Neil Patrick Harris last night. You know, it's daunting to go on stage and host an award show after Billy Crystal has done it, particularly when he is the king of those opening songs that they do. Mm-hmm. But Neil had a pretty funny song, and he's talking about Your Girlfriend in this clip from the opening number last night, Christine Hendricks from Mad Men, who was there and just couldn't have looked any better.
Straight from Mad Men, there's Joan. Oh, the curve she has shown. It would make a blind man say, damn. She could turn a gay straight. Oh, wait, never mind. There's John Hamm.
Very, very pretty great.
He was not only the host last night. Neil Patrick Harris was nominated for an Emmy. He lost to John Cryer from 2 and a Half Men. Of course, then he had to go on and host the whole rest of the program, even after he was a loser.
Well, the night could have gone in two directions.
We are now in the second direction. The host lost. You can do this. You can do this. It's not awkward. I won't let it get awkward. But change of plans. You know what? We're going to go a little bit faster tonight. Okay.
Handled it very well. John Cryer also had a very funny speech when he got up to accept his Emmy.
You know, I used to think that awards were just shallow tokens of momentary popularity. But now, I realize they are the only true measure of a person's real worth as a human being.
I think he's another guy that people in Hollywood genuinely like and were happy for him, too. He'd been nominated a bunch of times before. Last night was the first time that he won.
And Rainn Wilson got raped.
Rainn Wilson is a great, great, great actor. He'll get his, I bet.
Genius comic actor.
Speaking of Rainn Wilson, speaking of The Office, Ricky Gervais was there last night. And I'm telling you what, this guy may be the funniest man on the planet right now. Every time he makes an appearance on an award show, he slays me. I have time for a little bit of him talking last night from the stage.
This is the greatest award ceremony in the world. There's no doubt about it. Definitely, definitely. No doubt about that. Thing about the Oscars and the Golden Globes is they got film stars there. With their jawlines and chiseled looks, making me feel bad. But in this room, I'm probably above average.
I think you might be right, too, by the way.
Yeah, there were some ugly people on that stage last night.
By the way, we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If there's anything you want to bring up, Ralph has been covering the winners. We're just covering some of the highlights from the telecast last night. Kristen Chenoweth was out there, who, by the way, looks like she weighs about 60 pounds. She's so tiny.
She's a midget, too. She's like 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
She's tiny.
Yeah.
She's really tiny.
She's a spinner, right, Mike?
Yeah.
She came out, and her show, Pushing Daisies, I guess won a bunch of awards overall. The one that we saw in the telecast was hers for Best Supporting Actress. Now, this is a show that's not on anymore, but I really thought, as I was watching her get up to accept her award for Best Supporting Actress, I really thought she was going to hyperventilate and die because she was so overcome with emotion. And I found out that backstage at the Emmys last night, they actually had to have the paramedics come in. Apparently, she got some sort of massive migraine after she got off stage and couldn't open her eyes.
Wow.
How creepy is that?
That's bizarre.
But a very funny speech from a woman who, again, remember, is on a show that's no longer airing.
I'm out unemployed now, so I'd like to be on Mad Men. And I also like The Office. And 24. To my manager, Danielle Thomas, who said that I could go into TV from Broadway. Thank you. And Neil Patrick Harris, you rock. This is really heavy. Please wrap it up. I'm wrapping it up. Thank you so much to the Academy for recognizing a show that's no longer on the air. Thank you so much. Bye.
She sounded like she needed medical attention, didn't she?
She was crying.
I couldn't figure out what was going on because she'd recover really well, and then she'd just fall apart again. And twice she's like, this is really heavy. Well, it only weighs 10 pounds less than
her.
She does.
Yeah. By the way, John emails in, what was the deal with Sarah Silverman last night? Yeah, she didn't win, but she was in the audience last night while they were going around and showing all of the nominees in her category, and she was wearing a big old mustache. She's sitting there in her evening gown. It was hilarious.
I thought the comedy bits of last night really played for the most part. I was surprised how funny the show was. When they went to the lead actors in a comedy category. Mm-hmm. All the girls in the audience were wearing like goofy glasses. They would have like Coke bottle glasses, or Amy Poehler had an eye patch on, and one girl had a monocle, and it was just it was ridiculous. They were just having a blast.
And that was so nice to see, because a lot of times these shows get so stuffy. I mean, maybe they can't do anything about it being 3 hours long, but at least you felt like you were at a party and you felt like they were having a good time and happy being there too.
You know how to cut out an hour? Let go of the miniseries movie category.
That's the place, you're right. The miniseries movies is it's about a half an hour of the show. It's a lot of time for programs that virtually no one watching has seen.
Yes.
I do agree with you there.
And the song and dance number that was in, I don't know, an hour in?
Yeah, they did a little bit of
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the
Stars,
right?
Yeah, whatever. We didn't need that.
Could have done without that.
I fast forwarded.
One of the funniest things last night was just Rob Lowe being up on stage telling the truth, and I laughed out loud when he explained a career choice that he made in his life.
For those of you who may be wondering why somebody from The West Wing or Brothers and Sisters would be presenting the Emmy for Lead Actor in a comedy – series. Clearly, you have forgotten my work in a little show that I starred in called Dr. Vegas. Oh, yeah. No, I chose that over Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, now,
yeah.
Come on, right?
That's funny. I didn't know that.
The big winners of the night, we just have time for one more clip. We'll have more for you next hour. But the big winners of the night were 30 Rock repeating as best comedy, Mad Men repeating as best drama. And at one point in the night, Tina Fey, one of my crushes on television, and John Hamm, Ralph, your main crush on television, were on stage together presenting an award, and they were very funny.
Good evening, and thank you for looking at us. Tina and I are honored to present the first award this evening.
But before we do, let's linger in this magical time at the beginning of the evening where everyone is still a winner and Seth MacFarlane is only pretty drunk.
I was sorry to see that Seth MacFarlane did not get his Emmy that he campaigned so hard for, but he did get a lot of love in the room, and they showed one of the clips of Brian, you know, Brian and Stewie doing their thing. It was very, very funny. All in all, I mean, I'm, you know, pretty burned on these award shows. I've seen a lot of them, and I don't really care who wins most of the time. But all in all, I thought it was a very entertaining show.
And I thought it looked great. The production values and the way the stage moved and all mm-hmm. the elements they put, the funny voiceover guy who was giving bizarre credits about people who got up on stage and stuff.
Yep.
I thought all the elements really paid off last night.
John Hodgman, we got some tape of that for you next hour. Billy Crystal had a very funny appearance. We'll play some from Jimmy Fallon. He was very funny coming out with the auto-tune last night. And I can't wait to play the tape if you missed it from I think her name is pronounced Shira Agdalashu. Did you see her last night?
Yes. Did you see? Yes, she won for the House of Saddam.
Unbelievable what happened in her speech last night. We'll have that for you next hour.
And now, a moment with Bean.
So the taste of your phone call is going to be ringing in our ears all weekend long.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow. That doesn't even make any sense at
no,
all.
No, it does not.
You know what I am is not a winner. That's what I am. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. How about this? 727. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to take your phone calls on a topic that came up on our show a couple of weeks ago at 1-800-520-1067. We had a guy call in who was working – I think he was working at an Apple store, wasn't he, Mike?
Yep, isn't that yep. the – Yeah, an Apple store.
Working at Apple store, and he had a very attractive young lady come in as a customer who was having some trouble with her laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he was trying to fix it for her, taking a look at it to determine what the problem is. And for whatever reason, I don't know how he did it, but he couldn't have been any happier with what he saw. All these naked pictures of her started coming up. Unfortunately, she's standing right there with him. So he's got her laptop open, and all these naked pictures are flying by, and he can't, you know, save him to a disc like any right-thinking American would because she's standing right there. And I just thought how hilarious that was for this poor woman who came in. She wasn't expecting that at all.
Probably never even crossed her mind that would happen, yeah.
And that kind of got us thinking about stuff that you find on other people's computers and phones because it has to happen all the time. I mean, there was that story that made national news a couple of months ago about a woman she found naked phones in the sent box on his email on his iPhone. And she said, hey, what are all these photos? What's going on here with these photos? And he explained to her that it was just a glitch. It was an Apple software glitch that somehow they appeared in his email. He didn't know what they were, didn't have anything to do with them. She didn't buy it, and it turned out that he was just making it up to save his ass. But it's a funny topic to think about, the stuff that you've hopped on somebody else's computer at work to do something, and something comes up that you didn't expect, or, you know, you share a computer in your house with your roommates or friends or family or something like that.
Work.
There's stuff on there. Or at work.
We found things on some of our workmates' computers.
It sounds to me like you're making a reference to a certain newsman that may work on the Kevin and Bean show.
I might be, actually.
Open wide for junkie.
What was it that turned up on Doc's hard drive that time, Mike? Do you remember? Did you ever see it? I heard about it, but I don't remember what the
specifics were. I was not around,
but
I've heard about it many a time. It was a website to purchase real dolls, right?
Real mm-hmm.
Like with
you know,
real
sex
orifices,
dolls, and right? But these sex dolls had
both
they were
sets,
women with junk.
Yeah, they had both sets of genitalia.
Yes, so that made it extra fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty
I got
awesome.
Me a monkey.
I guess many people have something on their computer that they don't necessarily want to share. I mean, there's a place on your hard drive that's private, you know?
Sure.
And maybe for adults only. And sometimes that stuff comes out. And that's those are the stories that we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. In fact, we got time to take at least a couple here before the break. Let's try Nick. And this is exactly what I was hoping for. Nick is on line one. The people who work in customer support or they help with computers, those are the people who must see everything in the world because people bring their stuff in and they don't take all of that off before they bring it in for service. Nick, where were you working, dude?
Hi, I used to work at CompUSA before I closed down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we had in the tech support shop, we had people bring their computers in, and every time somebody got a computer in, they'd immediately, the first thing they'd do was go through it and see if there was any porn or any pictures of people on there. They'd be looking through it, saving it to their hard drives, cracking up. It was horrible.
And how did you, how did you find that stuff? I mean, because, I guess it all depends on how people label the files or videos, but what did you look for?
People would just go, you could just go to a search, and you can search for all pictures on the hard drive and just start scrolling through them. And you're bound to find something, because all these people had something.
Isn't that crazy? And you guys actually saved all those, and then what's it like when the person comes back?
I didn't work in the tech shop. I wasn't doing this. But, yeah, these guys would save it if they found something good. They'd be looking out at the girl looking like, oh, dude, check this out. That girl right there, she's on the computer.
Oh, wow.
Man, that's the worst.
Wow.
Recently, I was fixing a guy's computer for him. Boy, it's his dad's laptop, and his dad's like 60, 70 years old. And he says, you know, my dad's laptop's having problems. And he was kidding around. He said, maybe he was messing with porn or whatever. But he was totally kidding. So I get on the computer, and I finally fix it. And I'm looking around, and there's a folder of all the James Bond girls naked. And I was just cracking up. And his family is Mormon. And I told him, hey, you're right about those pictures. He's like, no way. I was like, yeah, your dad. I don't know what he was looking at, man.
That's awesome. Hey, Grandpa's got to get some too, man. Thank you very much for the call, Nick. Let's take one more before the break, and then we'll get your calls in the conversation. 1-800-520-1067. It's going to be Lauren. Lauren is on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lauren, thanks for calling. What happened?
My sister and I actually found some really dirty pictures of my mother.
I'm sorry, your phone cut out. You found pictures of who?
My mother.
Oh!
Yay!
No! Naked photos of mom? What was she taking them or using them for?
Oh, I guess her own personal usage. I'm not actually sure what she was using them for, but I can figure why she took them.
Was she by herself in the photos, or did she have company?
Oh, she had company.
Oh, wow. Do you not want to see your mom like that?
No kidding.
Okay, here's the question that everyone is asking. Did you tell your mom that you saw them?
No, but you know what? She knew that I saw them. Ever since then, she won't allow my sister or I to get on her laptop without her permission.
And I think that's probably for the best with everyone involved, right?
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What have you found on your friend's, family, or coworker's computer or phone? That's what we want to hear. We'll take your calls next when we come back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're taking your calls about found porn. It doesn't have to be porn. It could be anything that might have potentially been surprising or embarrassing on somebody else's computer. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Jenna writes in, my husband had this hard drive of old stuff that I was looking for some things on. I found a folder that looked interesting, and I went into it. By the way, this is her way of not admitting that she was snooping on her husband. There was porn, which was fine, until I found a video of my husband getting serviced by some chick.
What?
That chick turned out to be me. I didn't even know he had shot video. He had gone ahead and added music to it. It was quite a shock to find.
Oh, my God. I guess that's good news, bad news.
Yes. The bad news is porn on your husband's computer. The good news is you're in it. The bad news is you didn't know you were in it.
Exactly.
So,
all of that.
How about that? All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Angela. She is on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Angela, thanks for holding on. What's your story?
I was on my boss's computer one time and was cleaning out his computer because his computer is slow. And I was looking through the history, and I saw one website that kind of stood out. It was www.beastlybabes.com.
What is that?
I don't want to know. What?
I want to know.
Can you tell us in a safe way?
It was my boyfriend and I. We were just cleaning out his computer, his home computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to say anything when I saw it, but, you know, my boyfriend decides to call him out and say, hey, what's up to beastlybabes.com?
Yeah, that and, like, awesome Asians and curvy.
So, are Beastly Babes, like, really ugly women, or what is it?
I didn't look. I didn't want to look.
I think Beastly Babes might be animals, not humans.
Oh, no, don't say that.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't want to see that either.
That was my fear, too. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I forgot about web browsers. I mean, a lot of times, especially in an office or something, you know, lots of people will use different computers and stuff. And there's some of the things you find in a web browser. That makes a lot of sense. Let's try James. He's on line one. James worked in tech support, so he's probably seen thousands of computers. Hey, James. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, James.
Hey, I work in technical support, and we had a high-level executive for the company I work for who would bring in his computer, his laptop, every so often, usually about every 3 months or so, and say, I just don't know what's wrong with it. You know, something's going on. And we would find just ungodly amounts of porn on his computer. So much porn that it would just cause him not to function anymore.
And a lot of that porn, though, I mean, part of the reason why it's put up is as a way to spread malware, right? I mean, isn't that pretty famous for being riddled with viruses?
Oh yeah. Especially if you're just looking for it, and you're trying to download, and you think you're getting porn, but you're actually getting something else.
Right. But, so did you tell this guy when he brought it back, I mean, when he came back for his computer, that the reason it was all so slow all the time was because of all the porn?
Well, I mean, so this happened four more times. And, by the fourth time, he's like, I just don't know what's going on. And he's a high-level executive. So, really? You have no idea. No clue whatsoever. So, you know what? We never told him because none of us in the help desk area could muster up the courage to say, look, dude, maybe your work computer isn't the best place to store your porn.
That's awesome. That is hilarious. Thank you very much for the call, James. We appreciate that.
Wow.
Hey, Bean, years and years ago, I was checking an email account on a friend's computer. As I typed in www.hotm to get to Hotmail, the predictive text came up with Hotmail, hotmale.com, which apparently is a real site, I guess, hotmail.com. Of course, I confronted him, and of course, he denied it, citing a typing error. Yeah, right. Have a great day, Valerie. That's funny. All right. Let's squeeze in a couple more calls. We got Brett on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brett. Thanks for calling in. What happened?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Lisa, man. How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on, Brett?
Oh, I got on my girlfriend's computer and found an email from another guy saying how much he loves her. And at the bottom, it said, oh, by the way, here are some pictures of us tearing it up. And there were new pictures of her and new pictures of him and her getting it on.
Yeah. Dude.
Was this recent stuff?
Yeah, this was just in May.
Ooh.
So this was pictures that were taken with another dude while you guys were dating.
Oh, no, more than dating. We've been together for years talking about marriage, family, and kids.
Oh, my God.
Well, look, I think the sweetest revenge, honestly, for you, Brett, would be to forward that to everyone you know, including the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'll do my best. Unfortunately, I think I deleted it.
Oh, you're dumb.
Yeah, you got to say, you got to at least put that on myexgirlfriend.com or something. Come on, that's great.
I'll see if one of my computer boys can dig it up.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Let's try, by the way, this is one of those topics. Let's go to line five next, Mike. This is one of those topics where we could take calls all day long. I mean, our phones are just being flooded. This happens all the time. Hey, Paul, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Paul.
So I was working in tech support, and routinely what we did is people would bring their own computers. Our coworkers would bring their computers in saying, hey, I got a virus, or hey, my computer's slow. So we had one girl bring her computer in, and believe you me, she was absolutely gorgeous, and we all knew that, and she knew she was gorgeous. So what ended up happening was when we were scanning her computer, we ran across particular things that were popping up as being spyware, malware, all that usual stuff. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it was pictures of her in the shower with her boyfriend.
All right, now.
Yes, and
but I mean, when somebody walks in, when you get a hot customer like that walks in the back of your mind, you're praying for this exact scenario.
Oh, we all were. I mean, believe you me, it was a closed door meeting with every single person in IT.
Oh my God!
But you know what? The funny part is that she had before and after pictures before her surgery and after her surgery, and after her surgery was a lot better than before her surgery.
Did she have a boob job? Is that
it?
Yeah.
That's the kind of surgery.
I mean,
major boob job.
I bet every girl that has that has before and after photos somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Well, the surgeons oftentimes will take before and after photos.
But I'm sure people personally do as well.
Sure.
The hardest part was we had to give her computer back afterwards. And how do you keep a straight face with something like that? You just can't.
Hey, I got news for you. That wasn't the hardest part. All right, man. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
He didn't get that.
Okay. Woo! All right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Good work.
Woo! What are you guys doing?
Celebrating.
Linkin Park on the world famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, 755. You know, we've had a lot of guests on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rarely have we had guests like the one that's coming in after the top of the hour with a nickname of Dr. Iron Fist.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Iron Fist will be here.
At least he's a date Dr. Iron Fist, but I don't know if he was Vitaly Klitschko.
Yeah. Vitaly Klitschko. Klitschko, by the way, has got a PhD. You don't see a lot of
Are you serious?
You don't see a lot of boxers with a PhD. A lot of chess-playing, PhD-holding doctors in the ring.
37-2, and the two fights that he lost were both called due to injury while he was ahead, right? I mean, he was leading on all the scorecards when he was called. So this guy is virtually undefeated in his life. He's unbelievable. What a great boxer.
I was at Klitschko-Lewis in 2003.
Really?
Yeah, I was at that fight.
Wow.
And you could see his brains. That's how big the cut was over his eye. You could literally see inside of his head. It was the worst cut I'd ever seen in a fight. And he wouldn't quit. They had to stop him. He wanted to come out again, but it was a great fight.
Well, we're very excited to welcome the champ to the Kevin and Bean Show. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes. Right now, it's Monday. Ralph has got another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. No, that's not the weather forecast. That's the number one movie at the box office.
No.
Balls. Billy Bush all of a sudden. $30.1 million made it. So The Informant came in at number two, $10.5 million. So a little difference of $20 million between one and two this weekend at the box office. Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself was third. Love Happens was fourth. Jennifer's Body came in at number five.
I'm still going to go see that. I don't care if people tell me it's not good. I'm going.
How bad can it be? Although it may be a DVD for me.
Yeah.
That way I can free to frame what I needed to.
No, I got it.
Nine was six. What does that even mean? I have no idea. Inglourious Bastards was seven. All About Steve was eight. Then Sorority Row and Whiteout rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Tonight, television history will be made as David Letterman spends the entire program with our president, Barack Obama. That should be interesting. That's television.
Definitely. Should be fun, yeah.
Speaking of television, tonight is the season premiere of House on Fox. It is a 2-hour season premiere. I have had a chance to see this television program.
Oh, you did?
I did not know.
They sent me a what they call a screener, which is like a DVD version of the premiere. It is one of the best movies I've seen all year.
Wow.
You lie!
I don't. It is a 2-hour feature film length episode of House. And it is like watching a movie, and it is freaking brilliant. You know I'm a fan anyway, but this was especially good, I thought. So you should check it out tonight on House, because I was really impressed. It's basically House inside this mental institution. He's in a sanitarium to try to kick the Vicodin addiction.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And
it
becomes much more than that over the course of the next 2 hours. It is a remarkable piece of work, and I really recommend it highly.
So, oh, good for you!
Thank you, Christian.
I get the Breaking Bad guy, Bryan Cranston, winning the Emmy again last night. I get how brilliant
he does
is.
Good
but
work.
I was so sad to not see Hugh Laurie win, because week in and week out, that guy blows me away on House.
If the voters had seen this 2-hour episode, I think he would have won. That's how good it is. It's really, it's like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest meets House meets Fame, the musical.
Really?
Well, maybe not the Fame part.
Is that accurate?
No, not really. Avril Lavigne is blogging about her divorce from Derek Whibley of Sum 41.
Yeah, Derek.
She says on her official website that they are separating, but she loves him with all her heart. She's grateful for their time together, and they will remain close, close friends.
You can't believe everything you read on the internet. That's how World War I got started.
That's right.
Maybe it's just her nether region she doesn't love him with anymore.
She loves him with all her heart, but not her vagina. Is that what you're saying?
No bell for Avril Lavigne?
I don't know. I was on the fence. She's been looking pretty crappy lately, to tell you the truth.
She's an odd one. She sometimes looks hot and sometimes not.
Okay.
Well, Recently, she has not looked good. So I was, I mean, that's why I get the responsibility is I've got to make those split second decisions and make them right.
Sure. It's all you, Bean. It's cranky. Tough being you. Absolutely. That's why we have instant replay, though. We can go back and get under the hood.
That's right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Get under the hood and figure it out. So not too much pressure.
I don't want to, I don't want to affect the outcome of the game. That's all. I'm just trying to make the right call.
I think it's easier to love someone with all your heart and to be happy for the friendship and be grateful for your time together when you're the dumper.
Absolutely.
I don't think Derek Whibley would blog the same thing about how he feels about the split up.
Because he's not going to get another girl with that face, that's for sure. he might date a pug next.
Oh, that's rough. Speaking of dogs, Jessica Simpson has apparently called off the search.
Oh,
really?
For
she
her Maltipoo.
Too bad.
Yes.
What? Why so soon?
Apparently, she realizes today that when a coyote comes down from the hills and runs off with a tiny dog, that maybe the odds aren't great of recovery. This is after her. She hired tracking dogs.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of bloodhounds out there looking for a dog. And a pet psychic.
Oh, my God.
See if they could psychically find the dog.
Oh, my God. Really?
She's given up. So, goodbye, Daisy. We hardly knew ye.
I liked her her help wanted or her dog wanted poster, dog missing poster that she put up all over town, too, with the word caramel spelled wrong, too.
The
caramel
really?
Color.
Yeah.
She's spectacular. And Khloe Kardashian, keeping with our dog theme, is apparently this close to marrying boyfriend Lamar Odom of your Los Angeles Lakers.
What is that about? They've been dating like a month, right?
Yeah, it's been merely weeks, but Us Weekly is saying they want to get married as quickly as possible, preferably before Lamar has to go into training for the preseason for basketball season. So they're already scouting wedding locations, according to this story.
What's
That's a good
rush?
Idea. Hurry up. Get it. Hurry up! Get married!
Why the rush? She needs the show ratings.
That's
right. Why the rush.
They have to squeeze it in for a very special episode of Keeping Up with Khloe.
Or whatever.
Whatever the hell
in
it's
Miami.
Called. Yeah. So, looks like it's serious between these two.
Okay.
God damn it.
The joke was, and really it makes a lot of sense, is if you're a big, big girl like Khloe is, you have to marry like a super huge dude
Giants.
In order to look petite.
Yes. And apparently Manute Bol was already married, so she has to go with Lamar Odom. I don't get it. I know there's a bit of a Kardashian curse, though.
Yeah?
True.
I'm just saying, Kim didn't do so well for Reggie
and
Bush's
I'm
career.
And I could see it now, Khloe on the, on the court at Staples Center, taking up three seats with a size 14 Lamar Odom pink diamond-encrusted jersey.
Yeah. Yep. Jessica Simpson and Tony Romo all over again.
Oh,
Tony Romo last night, how many interceptions did he end up throwing?
Three, I think. Two, three.
So apparently he sucks with or without Jessica.
He's struggling a little bit. It was a tight game, though. Great defense.
It was.
The Giants
was,
have a good D. I mean, it was back and forth.
How do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
It's like Borat asking a question. How do you think the Clippers do NBA? NBA. Today's celebrity birthday is Stephen King, legendary horror book writer, dude, author. He is 62. Bill Murray, one of my favorites of all time, is 59. Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm, which returned last night on HBO, is 44. Faith Hill celebrates her 42nd birthday. Alfonso Ribeiro from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is 38. Luke Wilson, also 38. Liam Gallagher, formerly of Oasis, since Oasis is no more. 37 years old. Maggie Grace from Lost is 26. And Nicole Richie from The Simple Life, she is 28 years old today. She, of course, famously the daughter of Lionel Richie. I wonder if we have any piece of tape of Bean back in his DJ days talking about Lionel Richie. I wonder.
95 PGC. At 432-9595, all conversations on the air, of course, are strictly confidential. That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his...
That happened right there on the radio.
Wow. You see, folks, don't take it personally. Bean's not being bad to you. He's always been bad.
Shut up, Bean. Shut up, Bean. Shut up, Bean.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we geek out over no one like we geek out over professional athletes. I was saying this last week when we had Michael Strahan in our studio. Ladies and gentlemen, how about this? Please welcome the champ, Vitaly Klitschko, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you? How are you, Vitaly? Thank you for being here.
Good morning, everybody. I'm very happy to be here.
Great to have you. Champ, I got to tell you, I was telling the guys beforehand, I saw the fight against Lennox Lewis in 2003. And I got to tell you, that was one of the toughest fights I've ever seen two guys fight. That was a war that you guys had before the whole thing was stopped because of that cut over your eye. And I thought you were going to win that fight. I thought you were ahead.
Yeah, I give my best in this fight, and I fought against the strongest guy in my career. I never fought against a strong guy as Lennox Lewis, but I'm very appreciative for Lennox. He gave me chance to prove my skills against him, and he gave me his word. He gave me a rematch because everybody waited a second fight, Klitschko, Lennox Lewis, because after the first one, nobody understand who is the real winner.
Right.
And he sinks a long time, and after that, decides to retire.
Yeah. In that instance, and in the other fight that was stopped because you were hurt, I mean, you're in the boxing mode, and all you want to do is keep fighting. It must be incredibly frustrating for you when the referee makes you stop.
Yes, you feel you have a control, you're ready to fight, and one second, this referee stopped, you fight, especially if we coming back to Lennox Lewis fight, I understand I was bleeding in second, round number three, round number four.
But and that cut got big.
But, yeah, cut was big. Yeah. But anyway, my cut man have under control, my cut, and round number six, I was five or six, this was everything is fine. I don't know. I was surprised why the referee stopped the fight, but, yeah, good excuses, doctor. Worry about my health, and yeah,
sure,
Lennox
sure.
Tell me, don't worry, buddy, I give you a match.
And, and we're all still waiting since 2003 for that
rematch. I still waiting so long time, but Lennox Lewis make a voice, he want to come back, and after that,
he's been talking about that. Maybe fighting again. He's been saying that.
You know what, just speculation, I think so. I saw Lennox. He's huge right now. So I think so. His weight is about 300 pounds.
Oh, man. So,
wow. He's heavy. It would take a lot of work to get him back into shape, wouldn't it?
I love it when you smack talk a retired guy. That's pretty bold.
That's awesome.
How old are you, Vitaly?
I'm not the youngest one in boxing. I'm actually 38.
And you retired for a couple of years as well, right? Would you say 4 years off?
For a couple of years, I have line of injuries. It's very close to the fight. I have to defend my title. I take my injury. I tore my ligament in my knee. And, boxing organization give me just 2 months for recovering. But I make the surgery, and doctor give me 6 months. And I don't want to wait if somebody strip my title. I tell, okay, I don't want to block heavyweight division. I give way free for everybody. I give my title back. And WBC, it's World Boxing Organization, was very appreciated, was very surprised. I doesn't lose my title in the fight and give me the status emeritus champion. It means anytime, if I want, I come back and fight immediately against world champion.
Right.
And long 4 years, I spent this time for recovering, and after that make medical exam and have a physical exam by my coach, and it was excellent result, and I'm decided to come back and fight immediately against pretty strong guy Samuel Peter, and I stopped him in 8 rounds.
Yeah, you kicked his ass. You have had a bunch of good fights. Sanders, of course, and Williams and Johnson, you've been fighting the best that the heavyweight class has to offer the past couple of years, and now Saturday, some people are saying the fight against Chris Ariola may be the toughest fight for you since Lennox Lewis. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yes, because first of all, I thought I will be fighting against Chris Ariola. Chris Ariola, official contender for world heavyweight. He's number one in rating. He's undefeated.
Right.
Very strong guy with great record. 27 fights, 24. He win.
Knockouts.
Right. Knockouts wins, and it will be tough. It's tough opponent. It will be tough fight.
But his name is Ariola, and that gives you the psychological advantage.
Because it means nipple bean, is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. I mean, that you make fun of him before you've done a thing. Because, I mean, you're a Klitschko, for God's sakes. He's an Ariola. You win. I mean, He's the nightmare.
That's the way it goes, Bean.
He's the nightmare, but you're Dr. Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I want to tell his second nightmare in my professional career. It's Samuel Peter Wu's first nightmare.
Interesting. So you obviously, you have not fought Areola before, but you watch a lot of tape. I imagine that's how one way you prepare is to watch a lot of tape. What do you see in him that you think will work to your advantage?
You know what? I don't want to talk about his weaknesses because his weaknesses. I try to use his weaknesses. If I use his mistake, I use his mistake to send him immediately to the floor. But anyway, what I saw, big punch, big heart, and very tough fighter.
Yeah, he's got a big heart. He fights hard. He does hit hard, as do you. So we're expecting a lot of bombs in this fight on Saturday. But he is 10 years younger than you. Does that concern you at all, the fact that you're fighting a younger opponent?
You know what? It's if you ask me how... I'm 38.
Right.
But I feel me like 22. to be honest, it's, I studied that... I make my PhD work in especially in talent, in the, skills, in boxing skills, mm-hmm. and especially in sport. And it's very interesting. It's almost many of heavyweights have a best result after 30 years old. Why? Mm-hmm. It's because after 30, main point what you have. Experience.
Yeah.
Experience, yes.
Yes. What a matter what you do, what you did before and what you do. And experience is main point in boxing also. And it's a great example. If Muhammad Ali fought against George Foreman, or Muhammad Ali against young champion mm-hmm. who destroyed everybody, is Muhammad Ali win because he have a lot of experience. And this point, what I try to use in this fight, my experience. I have much more experience. I'm much more sneaky. And I try to fight very clever against Areola. And you know what? I send him to the floor.
Predicting a knockout. All right, I like that.
He is a great ambassador for the sport of boxing and the current WBC heavyweight champion. In our studio, Vitaly Klitschko is here. We'll take a quick break. We've got plenty more right after this on the Kevin and Bean. This is K-Rock, Don't You Know, 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:28. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. This Saturday, you can watch on HBO or better yet, be in person at Staples Center, Los Angeles for the WBC heavyweight championship fight. We've got Chris Areola versus Vitaly Klitschko. Mr. Klitschko in our studio here. On the Kevin and Bean Show here this
Don't
morning.
Don't do that. He'll take a swing at me. He'll think that the round is starting. It'll be Dr. Iron Fist against Dr. Featherhands.
Yeah,
that's what my name is.
Hey, we were talking a little bit off the air about how your opponent this Saturday is Mexican, which to me, first of all, is a little bit of a rarity in that weight class, but is going to – I imagine there's going to be an awful lot of Areola fans in attendance at Staples Center. It seems like he may have the crowd on his side a little bit. Does that make any kind of difference to you when you're in the ring, or are you able to keep all that out of your head?
I actually twice fought in the Staples Center. It's all Mexican. Keep finger crossed for me and Lennox Lewis fight against Corey Sanders. Always, I know it's Mexican fans, it's huge boxing fans, yeah. and always support me. But I have a lot of friends. But right now, as many of them, my friends coming to me and say, Vitaly, so sorry. You know what? We had a chance. It's the first Mexican in history. Can be world champion. I tell guys, I'm so sorry. It's just a dream. I keep my
dream.
Yeah.
So you're going to break their hearts on Saturday. That's what you're saying.
That's why I'm sorry. I have my dreams.
Yeah.
And always I make my dreams true. As many years ago, I have a dream to have Olympic gold medal. I doesn't have my brother bring to family. Klitschko family have Olympic gold medal, and after that I have a dream to be the strongest in the world and as in professional, and I got that, and we have a dream to be the first brothers in the history who have the same time world titles.
Wow.
And we make our dream true, and right now we have a dream to control all heavyweight division. Right now we have three from four heavyweight belts.
Right.
His brother have two of them. It's IBF and WBO. I have WBC, and I think so. It's maybe in this year, maybe next year, we take the last one to Klitschko family. It's our dream. And after that, I have to
And then at that point, it's time to unify the belts. It's Klitschko versus Klitschko.
Oh,
there you go. That's the fight.
To see who takes it all.
Oh, it's so dangerous against my young brother. My brother have great excuses. Everybody ask him, you fight against you, older brother. Vitell, never ever. It's Vladimir Tell. You know what? I never had a chance to fight my older brother because I am 5 years younger. I born, he was five. I was five, he was ten. No chance.
Right.
I was ten, he was 15. No chance. But right now I tell it's always dangerous. My brother is so strong.
Hey, let me ask you about that, Vitaly, because, look, it's very difficult for anyone to be a world-class athlete, much less to have two as so great and so at the top of their games as happened in your family. I mean, I think of Serena and Venus Williams maybe comes to mind as another level of champions in the same family. How did it happen that both of you got so good? I mean, was there a tremendous amount of training? Do you have a father or somebody who brought you both along when you were young? Or how did it happen?
You know what is, I don't know, it's maybe it's genetic. It's my father is actually is Air Force officer. Mm-hmm. And one day the Minister of Defense invite him and tell the corner Klitschko, are you lazy? My father tell, no, I don't know, I give my best. No, you was lazy. Why I was lazy? You make great children. Why just two of them?
They wanted more Klitschko's out there?
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's happy as I bring my brother to boxing section. And because I was big and my coach, Luke, he's have to be also heavyweight. And in 5 years, my brother takes the Olympic gold medal, have good skills. And right after that, we make the competition always. We play table tennis, we play chess, we're running, and who will be the stronger, who will be the better. And right now, my brother, my small brother, a little bit better because he has two world boxing belts. I have just one.
Right, exactly. Is that a realistic goal for an athlete at the time of in the Soviet Union to grow up and be a professional, or was it just a miracle that they was able to happen? I mean, I don't know what the boxing culture is like in Russia.
Everybody know about Muhammad Ali, but it's professional boxing was forbidden. And
really?
Yeah, it's I explain very short story. After the school, it's 1986, a perestroika coming, and we can see this professional boxing fights. And with all my friends, after the school, I go and we see as the first professional fight in my life. It was Mike Tyson, youngest heavyweight in the history, takes the world title, and unbelievable. I was so impressed. I began with the boxing. I tell to my friends, in one day, I will be so strong. I get this title, and I beat Mike Tyson. And everybody look at me, so skinny boy, and try to make the joke about me and kidding me. And you know what? I have good memory. I invite 15 years later, I invite all my friends.
You did?
Yeah. Who was in this day, I bring the same belt what have Mike Tyson put on the table and tell, and you don't believe me? There?
Make a joke now, boys.
That's a great
that is awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Tyson, when he won the title at 20, I mean, I think there were a lot of young people out there watching TV who said, oh my God, I want to be him. I want to be just like him, obviously. You know, very few are able to do it. So that's a fantastic story.
Speaking of other fighters, Champ, did you get a chance to watch the Mayweather-Marquez fight this past weekend?
Yes, of course.
What'd you think? What were your impressions? Mayweather, I think, has a – for a two-year layoff, I thought he looked pretty good on Saturday night.
Mayweather shows his class. He was very fast, good reflex, good eye, good legs work, and what about boxing? He fight clever.
Mm-hmm.
It was really world class fight, and actually, I was very impressed, and I enjoyed the fight.
Well, if it taught me anything, it's don't drink your own urine. That's what I learned. Because that certainly didn't help the other dude.
Didn't help Marquez, no.
No, I don't do that.
Not part of your training plan?
It's not part of my training.
It's so funny, and we're out of time here, champ, but it's so interesting when we get a chance to meet a guy like you who's such a monster in the ring and really is able to bring the pain. And outside of it, you're such a nice, easygoing, likable, funny guy. I mean, it's the opposite of what we'd expect. You must really do a number on your brain to get in the mode to go out there and fight. I mean, it's quite a transformation from what we see in front of us today to what we'll see Saturday night at Staples Center.
Yes, of course. In ring, you have to be concentrated and you have to be serious. No fun anymore. But you know what? Life is so interesting. Life is you have to enjoy the life. And life is not just boxing. Mm-hmm. But if you go inside the ring, everything is serious. It's a serious game, and you have to give all the best because two guys come inside the ring, and one of them will be in the floor. It's one of them will be the winner. I don't want to go to the floor. I want to be the winner. That's why I have to be very serious, very concentrated, and you have right. I'm two different person outside of the ring and inside.
Is it ever personal for you, or is it always business? Do you ever go in really disliking your opponent? Have you ever fought a guy you really don't like and you really want to beat him up? Or do you always go in and say, this is my job, it's just two guys who are doing their job, and it's a professional thing? You don't need to name names, but have you ever hated a guy that you got into the ring with and really wanted to kick his ass?
You know what? It's one short story. I fought a couple of years ago against one guy. I don't want to tell his name. And I sent him to the floor. It was blackout. And I saw his family sitting. And you know what? I have, as human, I have a bad feeling. Mm-hmm. And after the fight, I come into him and I tell him, I'm so sorry, guy. I'm sorry. I have bad feeling. And the guy told me, you know what? I kick your ass immediately. I want revenge. Okay. I think maybe my punch was not hard enough.
You didn't feel guilty after that, did you?
But you know what? If I'm professional, everything what happened in the ring, I have to give my best. I don't like my opponent. As sportsmen.
Right.
After the ring, as many times happens, we're getting good friends with my former opponent.
Mm-hmm. Right. And interesting.
Yeah, it's. I have many friends with who I fought. And right now we talk about many things and we think, oh, you remember, you hit me so hard. It was painful.
Yeah, good times, good times. When you knocked me out, that was fun. Yeah,
that was a lot of fun when I lost all those teeth and all that blood.
Oh, that was great.
All right, Saturday night WBC Heavyweight Championship, Klitschko versus Areola. It is going to be at Staples Center. Ticketmaster.com, by the way, may still have some tickets. You've never seen a fight until you've seen one in person. We recommend you check that out. And, of course, if you don't, live on HBO starting at 7. Vitaly, what a pleasure to meet you, my friend. Good luck this weekend. Thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
In weekend, no joke anymore. It will be all serious. You're welcome, and you see the real heavyweight championship in the world.
Yeah.
All Vitaly Klitschko against Chris Areola.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Woo! Only Weezer can pull off woo and still have rock credibility.
No, you did it.
Yeah, you just did it, man.
The world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:46. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, do we embarrass ourselves when the athletes come in when we geek out? Because they really are our favorite guests. I don't know what – I mean, we love movie stars and recording acts and stuff like that, but there's something about an athlete that comes in here that just gets us all fired up.
Yeah, you geek out a little bit, but I think it's just because they turn out to generally be such gentlemen.
I think also it's the toughest life—the toughest life in all of entertainment.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I consider them entertainers for the most part, professional athletes. But the guys who put their bodies on the line every time they go to work get nothing but just mad respect.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think that some of it, and I also think that some of it is I'm in so much awe of what they're able to accomplish because it's so far beyond what I could ever do in my life. I mean, look, I have no abilities at all, but I feel like if I tried really, really hard, I could write a song or write a TV show or act in something if I had to. I could never, no matter how much training or time I had, do anything that these guys do that are professional athletes. It's just, it's way out of my depth.
I think we're going to have to give it a shot to really know. I think we're going to need to make a video of you training as a boxer to really figure that out. We don't know.
All right. We're running desperately late. I want to play. We got a complete recap of the Emmys coming up in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including some very funny tape from the show last night if you missed it. But there's one accepted speech in particular that I have to play part of it. If Lisa, if you didn't see this on the show last night, this is going to blow you away.
Okay.
This is a phenomenal, phenomenal actress. She is Iranian. You probably know her best from the House of Sand and Fog movie a couple of years ago. She played the wife in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Shireh Aghdaslu. And I know I'm saying that wrong, but she won for what was her prize for last night on the Emmys, Ralph?
House of Saddam, the miniseries on HBO about Saddam Hussein.
Okay,
that's right. So she steps up to the microphone and listen to what happens with every breath she takes.
Thank you so much, Television Academy. I am honored and so blessed to be recognized in the company of.
Okay, so
what the hell is going on?
I heard that.
I got to step out and light up a smoke, guys.
Wow.
Oh my God. I heard her start and I thought, okay, she just came from a long ways back in the Nokia Theater. She's a little bit out of breath, but she's going to calm down, right? Well, it kept going and it kept getting worse and worse and worse with every breath she takes.
Marsha, Cicely, Janet, and Jean, thank you, BBC and HBO. Thank you, Alex Holmes, for creating this show, writing and directing along with John.
Okay. Not a joke, not edited. That happened on TV. Yeah. That's real.
And you started to hear a murmur in the audience, too, which I thought was odd. People start going, oh, is she okay?
Like asthma attack or something?
Look, she just likes the Marlboros.
Wow.
I get emails every single day from people complaining that they can hear me breathe on this show sometimes. But please tell me it's not this bad.
Thanks to my dear agent, Peter Levine at CAA.
She's going to go home having taped the Emmys and want to see how she looked in her moment. And she's not going to be happy, right?
God, no. That is just awful.
I don't know.
I can't even duplicate it.
I know. It's rough. Anyway, we got some great tape. They tried some new things on the Emmys last night that I thought were pretty effective. We got some highlights of Neil Patrick Harris hosting. John Cryer's big win. Very, very funny. Alec Baldwin was funny. Jimmy Fallon was funny. Creepy guy from Lost who won last night, Michael Emerson, was creepy. Creepier on stage than he ever is on the show. What's that about? All of those highlights coming up for you next hour. Quick break. We'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Hey! Mario's Great Puppy Hunt.
No, not at all, Mario. Sorry. 106.7 K-Rock. It is KROQ 858. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Monday. What's going on?
Well, as we do every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was number one this weekend. $30 million made it number one. Then The Informant, Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself, Love Happens, and Jennifer's Body filled the top five slots. Then 9 Inglourious Bastards, All About Steve, Sorority Row, and Whiteout, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan has really just fallen off the wagon, according to witnesses who saw her at a Hollywood party a few weeks ago. They told Janet Charlton, who is a entertainment news journalist, that Lindsay was still carrying her trusty bottle of water around to prove her sobriety. Mm-hmm. However, she had it refilled with vodka 7 times.
Yeah. 7 times.
Good morning, binge drinkers.
Then she made a lot of trips to the bathroom with some girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
And one source said they saw her, now this is allegedly, snorting a mysterious white powder.
Could have been talcum. Could have been talcum.
I love that quote. It was a mysterious white powder. Yeah. It could have been anything. Could have been baking soda. Could have been powdered sugar.
Vitamin B12. Possible.
Could have been B12. Could have been some sort of baby laxative. You don't know.
It could be cocaine.
What?
How no, I doubt you. That. That seems unlikely.
Madness, you speak. Congratulations to Death Cab for Cutie singer Ben Gibbard. He was the lucky one who landed Zooey Deschanel.
What? He won her in a raffle or something, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how that works?
It was a charity auction.
That's right.
He bought her and married her this weekend. Apparently, they got married up there near Eugene in Seattle, Washington. They've been engaged for the past year, and just a great Hollywood couple. I hope those crazy kids make it work. Another great Hollywood couple. Well, it's great if you're Sean Penn, anyway. Have you seen his new girlfriend?
No.
Now that the model, yes.
Now that he has split up with his wife, Robin Wright Penn. Apparently, Sean, who is 49, is currently dating 25-year-old model Jessica White.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean getting himself a little brown sugar there.
Yeah.
She's a sister.
She's not ugly. She's a sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he always did like Robert De Niro. Sean's fan. He always did look at him as sort of an idol, so you can see why. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Maggie Grace from Lost is 26 years old today. Nicole Richie from The Simple Life turns 28 years old. I wonder if Bean ever had anything to say about Lionel Richie, her dad.
No, I didn't.
95 PGC at 432-9595. All conversations on the air, of course, are strictly confidential. That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his...
Every time you play one of his songs, he gets a little more Richie.
Bean, you're a shithead.
Yeah!
Lionel Richie. What's Bean doing his Bob Hope impression?
All them conversations.
Yeah, about that Lionel Richie, huh? I tell you, he's quite a singer.
Yeah.
So much for the Bean, huh?
Liam Gallagher from Oasis is 37 years old. Luke Wilson turns 38. Alfonso Ribeiro from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Silver Spoons, as Mike is quick to point out, is also 38. Faith Hill is 42. Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm is 44. Dave Coulier from Full House is 50 years old. And let's not forget, he's also the inspiration for that song by that angry girl.
You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette, yeah.
What's he doing now, Dave Coulier?
He is...
Because I know what Stamos is doing and what Saget is doing, the twins. What's he up to?
He's behind the counter at the Yum Yum Donuts on Highland in Santa Monica down in Hollywood.
Okay.
I think.
So he found work.
Yeah. Bill Murray is 59 years old. Stephen King turned 62. And Jerry Bruckheimer, Uber producer. Jerry Bruckheimer is 64 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
A lot of yelling going on in that band. That's what I'm noticing. Muse from the Resistance coming up. Also some Bob Marley Mon, and we got the Silver Sun pickups just around the corner on the world famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. It's 9:13. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I did not get a chance to tune in to the Cowboys-Giants game last night because I was watching the Emmys. We got a highlight to that coming up here in just a few minutes. Psycho Mike, you get a chance to see the team you used to root for, the Cowboys, play last night in their brand new stadium?
I did. It was actually a really, really, really good football game, and they were trying to highlight that brand new stadium down there in Dallas. And let me tell you, that thing's unbelievable. But
It cost a billion and something dollars, 105,000 people there to see a game with huge, huge, huge giant TV screens because I guess some of the people in the stands are so far from the field they could barely make out what's going on. But here's how the very exciting game ended last night.
To win the game, and it's good. Eli throws for 330 tonight, and the Dallas Cowboys have the opening of the stadium spoiled by the Giants at the very end, 33-31.
Let's talk to our friend Eli Manning, who was the big winner with his Giants last night. Hey, Eli, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi, Eli. I'm Eli.
Congratulations.
Go NY Giants.
Yay. Go New York Giants. That's the team that you play for.
Yes, I'm 10.
No, you're number 10. You're actually, yes. That's the number on your uniform, right?
I wear a helmet.
So it must have
all the time.
Yeah, you sure do. It must have been.
One now.
You don't have to wear one now. You're safe now. You
listen
can just take
it. Listen.
Well, don't hit your head, Eli.
That's me banging my head.
It must have been very. Eli, can you hear me? Can you hold the phone up to your ear, Eli?
Hi.
Okay, quit playing with your head and just listen to the conversation that we're trying to have. Okay.
Oh.
It must have been very satisfying to go down there and spoil the home opener for the Cowboys with their new stadium.
You said homo.
A home opener.
I win the Super Bowl.
Nope. That's not how it works. You got a lot of games to go before the Super Bowl.
What?
You have many games to play in order to make it to the playoffs.
No.
Right now, you're only two games into the season, but you've won both of them.
It's so hard.
I know. It's a long season, right?
Big black guys try to hurt me.
That's the way the game is played, yes.
Yeah, when I throw the ball, here's what I think. Yeah!
Well, that is true.
I'm so rich.
You are very, very rich,
I can buy all the candy that Willy Wonka ever made.
Yeah, but there must be better ways you can spend your money as a grown man.
I'd be a giant blueberry. I got a golden ticket.
That's just a movie, Eli. Just a movie. Were you worried at all when the Cowboys took the lead with about 3.5 minutes left? Or did you know that you guys were going to come back and win it?
I was not worried because I don't know what that means. So I just go out there and they say, throw the ball.
Right.
So I look for a guy with NY.
Right, you throw it at one of your own guys. Right, exactly, yes.
And I throw it at that guy, not the guy with a big star. They say, no star. No,
you
star.
Don't want to do that. You you had a great game, though. 25 of 38 passes, 330 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, you did everything you need to do to win.
Yes, that's why I'm the richest man in the world.
Well, you do have the biggest contract in football. So who's next? Who's next for you and the Giants, Eli?
Next, we play the San Diego Padres.
I don't think that's right.
Next, we play the Bad News Bears.
Maybe, I guess, Mondays are a day off for you. You don't really have to worry about next weekend yet,
next
huh?
Next time we play Grey's Anatomy.
that's not a team, Eli. You're confused again.
Where's Grey? Where's that city?
All right. You need a nap, and we'll try again later, Eli. Thank you for talking to the grown-ups.
Next time we play... Yes. Sesame Street!
Yeah!
Yeah!
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, and it's 9:26. This is the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph will have the Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes. Last night was the big night of television. In fact, it was too goddamn big a night on television because I was watching the Emmys. I didn't get to watch the Mad Men last night, Lisa.
Yes.
I think it was the season finale of Entourage was last night. I think Curb Your Enthusiasm was back last night. Of course, we had the Dallas New York game that I didn't get to watch.
Bored
it was
to Death all, started last night.
Bored to Death that. With Jason Schwartzman. I T-boned all of it. And then, of course, tonight I got the big two-hour House. So what am I going to do, man? I'm going to have to... I guess I'm just going to have to not sleep tonight to try to catch up on all the shows.
Watch The House. The House is so good.
I'm looking forward to the Emmys. I mean, looking forward to the House, that's for sure. Last night was the Emmys. They tried some new things last night. Ralph made mention earlier of the new set, which sounds like a dorky thing to say, but a lot of times they try new stuff and it just blows. Last night was so well presented. It looked so good on stage. They had some fantastic montages edited together. The show had some really good flow. I mean, look, it's 3 hours and there are some categories that none of us really care about.
Right.
But I understand that Hollywood wants to honor those movies and miniseries, and that's why they put it on the TV. But considering what they had to work with, I think Neil Patrick Harris did a great job of keeping the show moving and having a light touch, and he looked like he was enjoying himself. He was a very, very effective host. What'd you guys think?
I thought he did a great job. Absolutely.
He's been great at everything he hosted. He's hosted the Tonys and another award show, People's Choice or something, Golden Globes or something. But he's always good.
He was getting a lot of – I mean, it was very funny because, you know, everybody – let's face it, that's a job that's very tough to do. And everybody is holding their breath for the first few minutes to see if you're going to be able to pull it off. And last night he was getting shout-outs actually during the show from people like Jon Stewart and Jeff Probst as they got up there to accept awards. They were like, hey, Neil Patrick Harris, you're doing a really good job. It was pretty funny. He was he went and sat down in the audience when his category came up because he was nominated for How I Met Your Mother, and he ended up losing to John Cryer, which was kind of a running joke throughout the night that he was a big loser up there hosting the show. In fact, he broke into John Cryer backstage while John was making his statements to the press with another little bit of an interview.
John, it's Neil up here on the show.
Hello?
Question, it's Neil.
Yes?
How are you?
Yes. I'm great.
How did it feel when they called your name?
Whoa. It felt awesome.
I bet it did.
Awesome. Yeah. And the words that kept going through my head were just something along the lines of in your face, Neil Patrick Harris. That's what it was.
Follow-up question. Do you have the envelope with you? Can you just confirm that it does say John Cryer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cut away.
It was actually the best thing that could have happened for the show. They ended up losing that award because it gave them a lot of material.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon, very funny, came out last night to present an award, and I hadn't seen this on a show before, but he brought out the auto-tune. So everything he said sounded like a dance record.
Everybody ready to party. Everybody ready to party.
So he's dancing on the stage and then falls down while he's trying.
Music. Stop it. You can edit all this out.
Every year when they have the categories for the comedy shows, you know, like the Lettermans and the Conans and stuff like that, they always send in a videotape of the writers' names. And it's always very, very clever, very, very creative, very original. Well, David Letterman was nominated. His writing staff was nominated. They ended up losing to Jon Stewart again this year. But he had Billy Crystal on stage, kind of as an homage to those songs he used to do to open the Oscars, singing – Letterman's writers' names. It was very funny, and then Dave makes an appearance.
Matt Roberts, Jeremy Weiner, Joe Grossman, Bill Sheff, Bob Orton, Frank Sebastiano, and David Letterman. They're all nominated writers.
But Billy, this is my show.
Aren't you on a 10?
Because Leno's on a 10.
He's not right.
10.
He's not
Come on.
That was funny.
Ralph, what about your friend Michael Emerson? What's up with that dude?
He is a brilliant actor and a really nice guy. I've had a chance to meet him on a couple occasions. But mm-hmm. he doesn't necessarily come off as casual and relaxed in person, on stage, as he is in person.
What happened? Because I missed this part.
Okay. He's, of course, Ben on Lost, who really is, I think you got to admit, he's got to be one of the 10 greatest television villains in the history of the medium,
oh,
right?
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
Ugh,
he is so, I mean, he owns every scene he's in. You cannot take your eyes off this guy. And I kind of hoped he would leave that behind when he was just being a guy up on stage winning an Emmy. But listen to how creepy. There's something about Michael Emerson and his delivery. Listen to how creepy this seems. Like, I felt like he could kill me with his eyes looking through the TV set.
Oh, my goodness, what a fine honor. I feel like I'm living out a character actor's dream. One day I flew to Hawaii to do a guest spot, and 4 years later it's become the role of my lifetime. As they say in Honolulu, mahalo nui loa. Good night.
I don't think I could trust him. I thought he was lying somehow. I couldn't tell.
I'm sorry, I can't let you live, John.
That's what
creepy.
It was.
Yeah, it's like he's setting you up for something horrible. It's like, this is a great honor. I appreciate it. Too bad you all have to die now. And then the gas comes out and the whole audience dies.
He really needs to be a Bond villain. That's all there is to it. Talking about the Emmys last night, the big winners, of course, were Mad Men repeating for Best Drama, 30 Rock repeating for Best Comedy. Couple more quick clips. Here's something else we haven't heard yet from Ricky Gervais, who's just so great. Every time he takes the stage, he's always hilarious. And he was talking about his friends who were in the audience there on the American version of The Office, a show he created.
I can have a go at The Office because I'm executive producer, whatever that means. I'll tell you what it means. It means I created the show, so I sit at home and wait for the checks to come through. Oh, yeah. Yes. Syndication. Come on. They said, oh, syndication's not what it used to be. I went, no, take another look. Audit. Right.
Very funny. They tried something new last night. All throughout the show, up until they got to the very last two big awards for Best Drama, Best Comedy. Then they had a regular announcer talking about the winners as they approached the stage. They had comedian John Hodgman. He's a comedian. He's an actor. He also is the PC in the PC Mac commercials.
Right.
He's that guy. And it was really kind of clever because he was, for the most part, making up wacky stuff about people as they would walk up from the audience. I mean, they were actually providing some entertainment as they were walking up from the audience to accept their awards. And Neil Patrick Harris brought him out early to explain how it was going to work.
You'll be hearing the voice of our color commentator, John Hodgman, throughout the evening. Let's say hi to John here in the theater. John, you're on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, why don't you break, the people in the theater can't hear you, so why don't you break us off a little color commentating for the people here. Let's say, blah blah wins an Emmy. What would you say to as they make their way on the stage?
I'd say this is blah blah's first Emmy win, and he's also an avid taxidermist.
Likes?
Happy people.
Dislikes?
Punches to the neck and groin.
Good job. And you've confirmed all your information?
No. I'll be making up a lot of it as I go along.
Fantastic.
May I come on TV now?
Not tonight, John. Not tonight.
You know, I know a lot of people count broadcast television down, but there are still a lot of really, really talented people working in the medium. And I appreciate the fact that the Emmys, it's been around for 61 years, is trying new stuff. Not all of it works, like last year with the reality TV show Round Hosts. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a disaster. But I thought some of the new stuff, like that thing that we just played with the way they were handling the walk into the stage. I mean, I don't think any award show's ever done something like that before, and it's cool that they're coming up with good ideas, I think.
I thought it was great even when Neil Patrick Harris would introduce stars on stage. He would pick the most obscure role from their resume to talk about. The Rob Lowe was like, you may remember him from the after-school special, Schoolboy Father. And it was just great that they didn't take themselves too seriously this year.
Let's give Julia Louis-Dreyfus the final word on last night's Emmys.
Amy and I are honored to be presenting on the last official year of network broadcast television.
Well, I hope that's not true. Anyway, it was a great show, and I'm sure you can find all the highlights online if you missed it last night. We'll take a quick break. Ralph's got the final look at the showbiz beat for today coming up next right here. Bob Marley on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. It's 942.
So, let me get this straight.
Your defense is that you shot the sheriff, but you did not shoot the deputy.
Jaw.
But you did shoot the sheriff.
Jaw.
And you're admitting that.
Jaw.
We don't need to get him on the deputy. If we prove he killed the sheriff, that's a life sentence right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he's defending himself on murder by confessing to a completely different murder.
I have this weird hunch he might be high.
Ralph, I believe that was our own Ralph Garman operating in the Seth MacFarlane universe right there.
It was me and Seth knocking out a little hilarious pot comedy.
Very funny. Very funny. All right, it's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat. What the heck's going on?
Since it's Monday, we're going to take a look at the top 10 hot movies at the box office over the weekend. This according to Daily Variety newspaper. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs in its debut weekend made $30.1 million.
They got to be happy with that.
That's a lot of kids.
Yep.
Dragging their parents to a lot of movie theaters.
Balls. I'm just sad to see them make another Meatballs movie without David Naughton's participation. You know what I mean? Because that was the best part of the original, if you want my opinion.
So funny.
Well, I don't want your opinion at all. Informant was number two. Its debut made $10.5 million. So it was a bit of a $20 million discrepancy between number one and number two.
Lisa, how was that? You saw The Informant.
I really liked it. I thought it was very funny, and Matt Damon was awesome. And then, you know, Patton Oswalt was in it, and Joel right. McHale, who was great right. and very serious. The Smothers Brothers were in it,
what?
And they played totally serious characters. It was bizarre, but it really worked.
Lisa bringing us a Smothers Brothers reference,
I know.
By the way.
It was weird.
That's great. Tyler Perry, I Can Do Bad All By Myself, was number three at the box office. Love Happens was fourth. Jennifer's Body came in at number five in its debut weekend with $6.8 million. Nine was number six.
What?
I know. It's confusing. Mm. Inglourious Basterds was seven. It's All About Steve was eight. Sorority Row, Whiteout, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Tonight is the premiere of Dancing with the Stars.
Woo-hoo, go dancers.
If you're so inclined. But let's see what else is going on television tonight. You might want to get a little heads
what
up.
What else, Ralph?
Heroes.
Hey!
Has a two-hour yeah. season premiere tonight.
All of these are 2 hours?
Yes.
Who has this kind of time?
David Letterman. On his late night show tonight, will be spending the entire show with a guy named Barack Obama.
Hmm.
Not familiar with his work.
He's a rapper, isn't he?
He is a guy born in Kenya.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Who is a Nazi and a communist.
That's what I've heard.
That's what
I understand.
And yeah. Socialism.
Yeah. Promotes fascism and socialism.
Yeah.
And communism.
And wants to kill old people?
Wants
He's
to
a
kill
panel?
Old people and give free health care to illegal aliens.
Good.
That's and he only hangs out with people who believe 9/11 was an inside job. That's what I've heard.
And doesn't like white people.
I understand that, too.
So if you wanted to listen to that guy prattle on for 2 hours, you can listen to David Letterman. And The House over on Fox. House has its two-hour season premiere, which I had a chance to see, and it is freaking amazing. It plays like a movie when you watch this, so you want to check that out.
By the way, not to go back to the Emmys, but how about Olivia Wilde last night on that broadcast?
We were just looking at some photos of her in the red carpet. It's diabolical how hot she is.
It is. She gets hotter every year, too, which is unusual.
Yeah.
Omar, just during the break, told me, not that hot. Her face is all funny looking.
What?
So too angular and funny looking, and she's too skinny.
Are her eyes bonkers?
Exact words.
Omar said that?
Yep.
I bet she was wrapped with about 30 pounds of explosive. He thought she was pretty hot.
Nothing hotter.
That's what turns him on.
Exactly. TNT Burka.
That's right. You know what time it is?
What time?
It's time to hassle the Huff.
It's time to hassle the Huff.
Huff.
According to TMZ, David Hasselhoff was taken to the hospital Sunday night after his daughter called his ex-wife, Pamela, and said, "Oh, Mom, Daddy's drunk again, drinking to excess." Mm. Pamela was the one who called 9/11, you're one of Pamela's friends. Paramedics showed up at Hoff's home in Encino and took him to the hospital, and apparently he was released later Sunday night once they ran his blood through a charcoal filter.
Oh my God.
How old is the daughter?
She is 17 years old.
Oh, that's rough when that's your dad.
Yeah. Hey, do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
There's no room at the Marriott for you, David.
Major fan of K-Rock. I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I think there's a code in the Hasselhoff family where Haley calls up her mom and says, "Dad's eating a burger again."
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He just knows he's on the floor just rolling around.
like that terrorist guy they found this weekend. The wedding cake is ready.
That's right. That was his code.
Yep.
Three's Company star Suzanne Summers is speaking out about the death of Patrick Swayze this week. She says it was the chemotherapy that killed him.
Oh.
Yes. Suzanne, who has a book about cancer coming out next month, by the way. She beat cancer herself. Said at the Toronto Film Festival, what she's doing at the Toronto Film Festival, I have no idea, but she said, why couldn't they have built him up nutritionally and gotten rid of his toxins? I hate to be controversial, but I have to speak out. They took a beautiful man and put poison in his body. Suzanne, by the way, is a medical doctor. She is a trained oncologist. Oh, no, wait a minute. She dropped out of college in her sophomore year.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand her passion on this because she approached her cancer differently, but not all cancers are the same. Not all people are the same. I mean, Farrah Fawcett, for God's sakes, tried some of the voodoo non-American-style medicine to save her, and that didn't help.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a nutritional therapy voodoo, per se, but you're right.
But
some cancers
do not
respond to, grapeseed extract. And,
exactly. Yeah,
and a heavy dose of milk of magnesia.
This is one of the worst kinds of cancer.
Yeah,
you can
brutally aggressive and murderous. So
there's going to come a time when they beat cancer. I can't wait. I hope it happens, soon. But we're going to look back at chemotherapy though, and I think it's going to seem barbaric to us because it really is so poisonous.
Yeah,
I mean, it kills good cells along with the cancerous cells. But so far, we haven't come up with anything more effective.
Hey, look, collateral damage in a war sometimes. You got to deal with it. Amy Winehouse is finding out that some drugs are bad for you.
Nuh-uh.
What?
Yeah. Apparently her years of substance abuse have damaged her teeth to a certain extent. You'd never know that by looking at her.
Yeah.
She's got the smile of an angel.
She does.
And apparently she is currently undergoing extensive dental reconstruction.
She's 25.
Yes,
oh,
Lisa.
Oh, my God.
She's got the toofies of a 100-year-old.
Oh, dear.
So they are fixing her grill. But here's the thing. Because the procedure is very painful and extensive, they had to give her some hardcore painkillers once it was all done.
Right.
Ah.
And now, apparently, she's all strung out on the painkillers.
That's fantastic. That's
probably why she had it done, to get the painkillers.
Right, so if I get my teeth pulled, you'll give me drugs. Yank away.
By the way, worth mentioning, too, not only 25 and the drugs have destroyed her teeth, but also she had British teeth to begin with.
Yeah.
So she didn't have much good to start with.
Well, I'm not saying all Brits have bad teeth, but they're not at the foremost in terms of dental hygiene.
Doesn't seem to be at the top of the list.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
Sounds like communism.
Yes, sure does. And Khloe Kardashian is apparently moving at warp speed towards marrying her boyfriend from the Los Angeles Lakers, Lamar Odom.
No!
The brand new couple, they've only been dating for a couple weeks, according to Us Weekly magazine, want to get married as quickly as possible because then he's got to go into training for basketball season and they just won't have time. So they are currently scouting out wedding locations as we speak, and sources say you can expect an announcement regarding their pending nuptials any day now.
The only good thing that could come out of this, there was a bunch of coverage on Lamar Odom's candy habit during the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Candyman.
No more candy if she's around.
That's true.
She's
scarf it all down.
Like having a Roomba in the house.
You'll never get to it. A Roomba, but
come on,
the automated vacuum comedy.
I stand by that. Don't you dare put that in the file.
You want to put that in the dog loo file. Clean your dog loo with your Roomba.
The Roomba is a popular device that people use to vacuum with.
You.
I was suggesting that it's sucking up a lot of the candy.
I know
that
what
was
you're
the
suggesting.
Joke there.
I think the best thing
we've
about...
received angry emails from a number of concerned parents.
Oh, come on!
I think the best thing about Khloe marrying Lamar Odom is that her name will become a yodel. She will be Khloe Odom. Khloe Odom. Khloe Odom. Khloe Odom. Something out of The Sound of Music. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sorry about that joke. It was no Roomba, but I wanted to get to it anyway.
I'm standing by it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jerry Bruckheimer.
Hack.
The producer of such classics as Top Gun and those freaking movies with the pirates. He's got
he did Pirates of the Caribbean?
Ice Pirates? Yeah.
Was he...
Ice Pirates.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
The Robert Urich epic.
Was he on stage last night with the Amazing Race Crew? Is that one of his shows,
he
too?
He produces that show. He also produces the CSI shows.
Wow.
Wow.
He does it right. He's 64. Stephen King is 62.
Now, he hosts a CNN show, right?
Stephen King?
Yes.
And that's Larry King.
Okay, so he got beat up by the cops in the early 90s.
That was Rodney King.
Wow, my Roomba joke really? Is looking like the golden age of radio now.
I apologize, Bean. I didn't realize Mike had an open mic. Bill Murray is 59 years old today. Actor-comedian Dave Coulier from Full House is 50. David James Elliott. Name sound familiar? Does if you're Bean's dad. He's the star of JAG.
Oh, okay.
He's 49 years old. Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Curb Your Enthusiasm is 44. Faith Hill turns 42 years old today. Alfonso Ribeiro from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Silver Spoons is 38, as is actor Luke Wilson. Liam Gallagher from Oasis turns 37. Maggie Grace is 26. And Nicole Richie is 28 years old today. She, of course, the daughter of singer-songwriter Lionel Richie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember when Bean was playing his music back in the old days? Yeah.
95 PGC. At 432-9595, all conversations on the air, of course, are strictly confidential. That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
What kind of a hurry are we in there? We don't have time for that.
I sure hope Burtonsville enjoyed it. Whoever was listening from Burtonsville, hope they had the radio turned up so their rumba wouldn't be too loud.
And as always, these conversations are confidential.
That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, I guess Larry King was right. We can all just get along.
He too was confused.
Mm-hmm. All right. What a... forget today. Today is gone. It's history. It's dust. I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. But tomorrow, now tomorrow is always the best Kevin and Bean show, but in this case it really is true because we've got the great Craig Ferguson joining us tomorrow, who we love, by the way. He, of course, talking about his late night show and his new book that he has written. Dr. Drew is going to be on the show today. You're going to love this. As busy as Dr. Drew is, Ralph, tomorrow he's on talking about a Twitter conference that he's doing. Jesus. I don't know what the details are. Adam Sessler is going to be here from G4 talking about the new Halo. We got Mike Henry in studio. You don't know that name, but you know his voice. He's the voice of Cleveland on The Family Guy, and there's a spinoff Cleveland show coming soon. So all of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Kat is up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including some Weezer. We also have Nirvana coming up, Linkin Park. We got Muse, Foo Fighters, Bravery, and more straight ahead right after this on the world-famous K.